Ow.
I said, give me a second.
And quite frankly, I says, if this is
going to be
we need your signature.
And joining
okay.
Usual suspect.
We're rolling. We're rolling there.
Yep.
Hi, John.
What?
Pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Sorry, that was a tech.
Artistic.
That's a hot edit.
Welcome to the closed session, Thursday, March 23rd. We have a short agenda tonight, three pending litigations pursuant to Government Code 54956.9A. And here they are. LOCSD versus Golden State Water Company et al. In Slo Superior Court. Merrill versus LOCSD in Small Claims Court. Sturdivant versus LOCSD in Small Claims Court. So that's the three cases that we're discussing in closed session, and we'd love to have public comment. Starting now. Mr. Merrill?
Yeah, who is Merrill and Sturdivant? I never heard of them. I don't know what that was. Are they private parties?
Citizens of resources.
I'm sorry?
Citizens.
Okay.
What is 17?
And I have another question. On Henry Watson, I had hoped that we would be engaged in legal action with them regarding the disservices we suffered under their auspices. And this looks like it says response to complaint due. Does that mean that there has been a legal complaint filed, or is that just regarding the letter that Dan Blesky sent to them saying we want $5 million? I would like to have that answered if I might. And I would like to ask if there is any possibility that we're going to win any of these things. What does it look like? What's the legal landscape? That's it.
Okay, thank you. I don't have any, I think, Mr. McClendon, do you have anything to add to those comments at this time?
Not even the one about the response to complaint due in Montgomery Watson and LOCSD?
We filed a cross complaint.
Is that a legal action?
It's a cross complaint.
Yes. Filed in court?
Who else would like to speak?
No, that would end
the action. Okay. Who else would like to speak?
Can we only speak to those three lawsuits?
We're supposed to just stick to those three closed session items.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. I mean, that probably the proper thing to do is just the three on the agenda. So that's the only three we're discussing tonight.
I did have a question. It stated that on the agenda it was the three items, but I believe on tonight's agenda that you.
It's in the 7 o'clock agenda.
It's on the 7 o'clock agenda. Is what it is.
No.
But that's reporting out of closed session, right? Okay. Well, my question was, I thought they accepted you guys as a designated party. Why is there a lawsuit in the litigation? I mean, how's that working?
Then I guess it's, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not going to speak to you.
Oh, no. And that's all I got.
Okay. We are a designated party.
Did you repeat that?
Which one are you talking about?
We're just talking about we were going to agendize the Los Osos CSD versus Regional Water Quality Control Board as designated party to individual CBOs. We're going to agendize that for closed session. It somehow missed being listed on the closed session page, but it is on the report out of closed session page.
We can do a motion to include that on this agenda right now if you want to correct that.
But my question also is, I thought we were already designated parties, or the CSD was, and why is there legal action being taken
against a regional board?
Yeah, I mean,
we're allowed to discuss it in closed
session. Well, yeah, I'm just saying, is this legal action per the courts or legal action for them?
No, at the court stage.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
Just a...
Just a clarification. So should I do that right now? Motion to...
Yeah, let's go ahead and we can do, I believe, if we want to change the agenda to take that, to clarify with the 7 o'clock meeting report out. Well, I don't have the 7 o'clock in front of me. Do you have that?
No, I have the special meeting.
My package is over on the other side.
Yeah, it's on page 2 of 5 of the regular agenda, missing off the first, the page 2 of the second.
Right, basically 2, it's this one here.
Are we going to talk about it?
I think it's not on this specific agenda at all, apparently. It's just on this, the other agenda. That's a report. So I think we should probably just go ahead and pull that over.
It has to be tonight.
It has to be tonight, yes. There's facts and circumstances that we have to deal with tonight.
Yes.
Okay, then in that case, if it's an emergency, then we can take a vote.
Okay, so I'll just make a motion. I move that this item that's listed on page 2 of our open session agenda be included in our closed session agenda this evening, as was originally planned. It's a typo.
And it had, and the reason why, well, I guess that's what it's about. It's about that appeal. The other one, Merrill versus LOCSD, is they're wanting a refund of their prepay of their assessment.
Okay. So do we know if Merrill versus LOCSD, if they're a vacant lot owner or if it's an existing home? And I guess my question is, how does that help the process? And whether technically legal to, I think it's a risk involved in a bond assessment.
Well, the answer on it, we don't know if it's a resident or if it's a resident or a vacant lot. Although we can check on this subpoena. And there, well, the address is their address is LOBR, 1431 LOBR. And their P.O. box, their mailing address is a P.O. box in Morro Bay. So that's the only thing that's on there, and can't construe from that information that they're living in. Okay.
Just clarification under A, where it says pending litigation, the first line under that says conference with district counsel for existing litigation formally initiated. That's only those three cases that pertains to? Or does it pertain? Okay.
To all existing.
Then I don't have any comment.
Okay. Is anyone else? Mr. Williams?
You can't make any comment on anything that's listed here.
It's the ones we're going to discuss. Yeah. Okay, well, thanks. We're adjourning to closing, and we'll see you at 7 o'clock at Sunnyside.
Bring a blanket.
It'll be cold.
Thank you. Is this the same as before?
A little different.
Okay.
It's actually an updated.
What we'd like to do first is a short report out of closed session. Mr. McClendon, do you want to give that report? Just a short report out of the items that were considered.
Yes. President Sugar, is this on?
Yes.
Okay. Two items with reportable action. One, Sturdivant v. LOCSD, case number SC060026. The board voted to appeal the small claims ruling to Superior Court. The second action, Merrill versus LOCSD, case number SC060095. The board voted to have staff prepare a defense for that action. That concludes the closed session report.
Okay, thank you very much. All right. The next thing on the agenda is just some short announcements, and just to start out by mentioning that the Central Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board meets tomorrow, Friday. Our agenda says 8:30 a.m., but I understand they changed the meeting to 10 a.m. instead. And the item, there were kind of public comment period, which occurs after 1 o'clock, but there was an item that was going to be of interest to Los Osos citizens, and that item has been pulled from the agenda. That was item 9 about the Morro Bay plant, and I don't know if you knew, but they were discussing how much time they were going to give Morro Bay to upgrade their plant, a $25 million upgrade. And originally they were asking for 15 years, and the proposal was for 9.5. And the reason we thought it was significant that you knew about that meeting is you know our situation here in Los Osos and how much time we've been granted. So that meeting has been postponed, and I don't know when it is going to be rescheduled at this time. Yes. Mr. Mercano just walked in, but that is what I said. The meeting is still happening, starting at 10 a.m., but that item of concern is not going to be discussed. But we have agendas from that meeting over there if you'd like to look at their meetings and see how they hold their meetings, and you're welcome to take a copy. So are we going to, right now, I think what I'd like to do right now is have the presentation by the citizens who are discussing the cease and desist orders. Are they here yet, ready to give their presentation? We'll postpone that until they show up. There are some. Ooh, I'm magical. There is the citizens who are involved with the individual cease and desist orders have a short presentation they'd like to give the audience tonight, and they will be here to speak shortly. But at this time, we can go on to oral and administrative reports, and I'll turn it over to Mr. Blesky.
Good evening, Madam President, members of the board, members of the public. Just a couple of things. Very short oral report on the status of the mid-year budget. We're looking to get to finalizing the mid-year budget here within the next week. We've been able to unsnarl some of the accounts that needed adjusting, and we have a much better feel on where our fund deposits are and have been able to nail that down. One of the big things is that our administrative accounts place. There was some questions on that, and that's been worked out by our interim accountant, Anna Jane Hugh. So we should be seeing that audit in a couple of weeks as well. Both will be going to Financial Committee prior to bringing to the board, so you'll have that review completed by the time that you see that. We're not prepared to give, as a matter of fact, on item C, the construction contract admin and contract claims project, we were going to include that in the general manager's report as we have been lately. So we're not prepared to do an oral in detail on that this evening. However, we've had some interesting developments in that. We have received a settlement offer from Whitaker to close out their account essentially for what they're owed, and that is about, they would settle for about $1.2 million. We submitted that to the state. That's about a $5 million settlement from Whitaker if the state chooses to take that. We got word from the state this afternoon late that the state still views that they don't have a contract, and we think that'll be worked out in court. We did, another interesting fact related to that is that the other two contractors went to seek a writ of of relief last week, and what's interesting is the judge is picking up on the why the state is working with those two contractors, and the judge's comments simply were that he couldn't understand why these contractors are not going after the state for a third-party action. And it really is, it means that the judge basically said, hold on a second, the people who promised you the money through the district are reneging on their promise, and it doesn't look good. So I don't play anything on it because there's been so many surprises, but it's an interesting play on this. However, the state did basically say poo-poo to $5 million savings on a settlement with Whitaker Contractors. Status of the sewer project trench and road repairs were pretty much complete, and we're just settling out that account with Whitaker at this time. And if there's any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer those on the oral reports.
Sorry about that. Any questions from the oral reports from anybody on the board? Director Fouché?
Is the grading done at Tri-W?
Yes.
They finished grading there.
And the contractor was out to move the fence back so that, actually on the way over here, I didn't even look at it. But I believe that we're also, for the community center, we're going to be moving the fence behind that so they can access the marquee.
Okay. Thank you.
Director Tacker?
I would just like to attest that they did that today. I was out there. I intended to hang posters for the Love for Alana benefits, and the contractors were working on it, and I decided I'd come back later. But they did go behind the marquee for the community center's access.
And I think they moved the fence back eight feet.
It's a very comfortable zone, so when you are driving down Los Angeles Valley Road, you don't feel like you're up against that chain link fence, which somebody did drive through last week.
And we should have those out by next week, depending on staff availability, but we're at a little bit more even keel right now. And we have other staff members coming on with we have a candidate for temporary administrative services manager for a short duration, depending on regular ASM's return.
Are there any questions from the board on the public records request document? Did you say you put some on the table?
I believe we had a stack. There was about 25 of them there. So if folks want to see what we've got, we're intending to put them on the website, too, as we get these things more and more developed.
Director Sennett, and then Director Fisher.
How many staff hours do we have worth of research and publishing these documents? Any idea?
I'm going to let Karen answer that. I have an idea. It's a bunch.
Yeah. In general, there's a lot more time taken to identify and research and retrieve the documents than there usually is in actually copying them. And by law, we're not allowed to charge the public for any of that time. The only thing we're allowed to charge for is the actual cost of making the copies, which the district has set, at least right now, at 10 cents per page. So that's the only thing we're allowed to charge for. We cannot charge for the actual staff time involved in getting to that point. And it's sometimes a lot. It depends.
It's our policy. We just comment on
it. What, to not charge?
For staff time.
It's against the law, I was told.
Okay, we'll research.
I could be wrong. Mr. Clendon could tell me if it is or not.
Mr. Bleski, you have something to add?
There's a question of whether you can charge for staff time. I believe it's the district's policy not to.
Mr. McClendon?
Yeah. There's a case from a few years back out of North San Diego County involving a school district where the court said that unlike other types of charges, you can only charge for the actual physical cost of copying, that staff time, legal time, any other time cannot be charged. And so the rate is based upon the actual cost paper, ink, that sort of thing.
Well, then I have a question on that. I did a public request with the county and was charged over $100 because of staff time.
That's not allowed.
That is their policy currently. They will charge you for staff time, so that's challengeable.
Then I can provide you with the case. I believe it's still good law.
Okay, thank you. Director Sennett?
One thing I wanted to know is about how many staff hours of work. Well, I guess you just couldn't. Based on the average research for one public records request, what would the normal time be spent on that we're counting widgets?
Well, the complexity of those requests are from, for example, they want well data. We'll be able to provide that to someone who wants the staff time, or just open the files up and let them come and spend their time, which is another option. But again, then you have to have a staffer standing there to watch them. So this is the real problem with those requests.
I would say that even if someone just asks for something that's fairly routine, by the time, that I take the request and I respond to it and you copy and mail it, that's probably, I would say, at the minimum, and then copy the document, you're talking about close to an hour's worth of time just to do the tasks, even if it's something that you can pull out of a file.
We also have the issue of sorting what's releasable and what's not. For example, I get tremendous inquiries into affairs about personnel, and that's just not releasable. So, by law. And what happens, though, is that you still have to respond to it. So just to get that determined and down and gone, we've had quite a few that are repeat requests by the same party for extensive requests. So just sorting that out has been a real challenge. We'll get there.
Okay, thank you. Director Sennett, do you have another question?
Is there a special budgeting account that we provide for this type of, for the overhead to go into? Do we account for it for budgeting purposes?
It just comes right out of the 100 account and payroll. Right.
Should this be something we budget for and then, or do we just accept it as an overhead?
I think normally it's accepted as a regular overhead, but we're in extraordinary times right now, so that's why you're seeing this level of intensity.
Mrs. Vega?
We have separate, codes, as you know, for our copier, and there is a specific code for making photocopies for public records requests. So we can track at least how many copies, per month or whatever we're making in that category versus other district business.
Okay, Vice President Fouché? No? Director Tech?
This one comment on the table where it says documents not in CSD possession. That might be frustrating to people who request a document or what they think is a document. If they're not specific enough, I know I learned by trial and error many times. If you ask for, say, how much money was spent on the Keller lawsuit, well, the district's not going to have a piece of paper that has that. They're going to have invoices from attorneys. They're going to have court fees. There's all these invoices from different places, and you might request all of those, but then the information you're not looking for would then be redacted. But it's up to you then to do the math to find out how much the Keller lawsuit costs. So you have to be specific in what you're looking for. If you need help,
Asking for the public's benefit is because, as a director, during the past year, I have asked for many documents that I have not received from the old board, and it was concerned to me. I'm a really big proponent of the Public Records Act or free information, and I was denied information regularly, every month, every meeting, and all of my requests were agendized, and I never really understood that, and I really was looking for some... I was told no, and I was told, we'll agendize it and discuss it at a board meeting, and I always thought that was wrong. So I just wanted to see what you had to say to about it. So any other questions from the board or staff about this?
Just one last comment. We do get a lot of requests for people to estimate things or calculate things. That's not a Public Records Act request. This only has to do with existing documents or answer questions. We don't answer questions in that. So it's just stuff that's already been done.
Okay. And on that, and then that note about answering questions, what we are going to be doing, we've had intent to do it since the beginning, is to develop an FAQ list for the website and for Jan at the front desk to answer your questions that are commonly produced. And I've also had the intent to put a suggestion box over there. But if you want to start a pile of your common questions, if you have questions tonight that aren't getting answered, we can start that pile tonight as far as things that you want to know that you're not getting answered. And we will try our best to get to them. That's the commitment I can make right now. But we will be developing that list for the website, for the front desk, for the television. So just wanted you to let you know that too. Okay, anybody else? Okay, let's go on to the consent calendar. Committee reports we're not going to do tonight, but I did see Mr. Bill Moylan. Are you here?
Here.
Okay, what we'd like to do right now, because I mentioned that was we were going to offer some time to the citizens who are involved with the cease and desist orders, and I'd like to introduce Mr. Bill Moylan to give a short presentation.
I'll just face everybody. Because
we need you to do it to the microphone. Because and for the television, too.
How about
as well.
Now? Can you hear me now?
hang on a second, Bill. How about Bob?
Good.
Can you see him?
Well, if you could make a presentation to the board so we can...
Okay.
It's for the camera. Yeah.
Okay. Board, directors, staff, people of Los Osos, my name is Bill Moylan, and I live in the Prohibition Zone. And I received a proposed CDO by the RWQCB, the Regional Water Quality Control Board. Now, for those of you who do not know what a CDO is, it's a cease and desist order. This is an extremely serious legal injunction, if you will. And nobody should take a cease and desist order lightly. And what the cease and desist order said was that we would have a formal hearing. We were ordered to cease and desist using our septic systems by the date of January 1st, 2010. And until that date, beginning after the formal hearing, within 60 days of the formal hearing, which is now April 28th, if they go through with the proposed CDOs and they make them officially a CDO or a cease and desist order. And it's, I believe it's kind of like the law of divide and conquer. They didn't notify everybody in the Prohibition Zone all at once because they said that administratively they couldn't handle 5,000 cease and desist orders at one time, which is understandable. However, it's extremely discriminatory. Because we will have to start pumping our septic tanks out. And if you don't know, if you haven't had your septic tank pumped recently, it's $375 if you let the septic pumping person dig it up. If you dig it up, it's $300. So that's $300 every other month until the January 1st, 2010, at which time you will have to stop using your septic system completely or hook up to a sewer. Providing there is a sewer in place. Now, if there's no sewer in place, you have to notify them of an alternative method of treatment of your waste. In other words, you still have to stop using your septic system. I don't know if they'll accept an on-site system or not. They haven't really clarified that. But I want everyone in this room to know, whether it doesn't matter what side of the fence you're on here, they intend to give everybody in the Prohibition Zone a cease and desist order. Now, in lieu of that fact, I and three other people have started a legal defense fund because this is not just a walk in the park, ladies and gentlemen. This is extremely serious. What the cease and desist order means is You can't sell your property. I mean, you might be able to sell it, but you'd sell it at a reduced price, perhaps 50% of what it was valued before the cease and desist order was implemented. This is just my own feelings about it. If you'll notice, that no real estate is selling in the prohibition zone, and it will not sell very readily at all, especially if you have a cease and desist order. And since they intend to give everyone a cease and desist order, everybody that lives in the prohibition zone should consider getting a legal firm to represent them, either individually or, if you'd like, as a group. And this is why I and three other people have started this Prohibition Zone Legal Defense Fund. I have about five copies of our bylaws. No one is getting paid. There's three officers and two other directors on this, and we're actually looking for a couple of more directors so we can have seven. All the monies will be used only for the... Our purpose is to collect and disperse monies strictly for the defense of the people that have received cease and desist orders by the RWQCB. Now, I know that some people in Los Osos think, oh, well, we deserve whatever we get. But that's really a misnomer, because everyone in Los Osos is an individual. Everyone has their own opinions on whether we should have a sewer system or a step-stag system or no system. Everybody's got their own opinions. Everybody votes differently. The Measure B only passed by 10 votes. It's very close as far as how people stand. And right now, most of the people in Los Osos would like to see some sort of a wastewater treatment system get installed. And I think we might be able to get a law firm that charges less. In fact, we have negotiated with one firm to bring their retainer down to $20,000. That's just to get started as far as defending us. Now, law firms charge by the hour. They charge zillions of dollars by the hour. If we can get a flat fee, that would be even better. But if you're just sitting there watching your sitcoms at night because you haven't gotten a cease and desist order, well, to coin a well-used phrase, well, actually, it isn't coining a phrase. It's wake up and smell the coffee. It's kind of like, and I'm going to use a very poor analogy because I can't think of a better one. It's kind of like when, during World War II, when Hitler was running all over Europe, you know, saying that he was just liberating countries. Before it got close to England, Churchill said, and the people in England were kind of sitting back saying, oh, they'll never come over here. They have to cross the channel, and they don't have a bone to pick with us anyway. They said they're not interested in us. But Churchill knew better. He knew that eventually the Germans would be bombing English soil. But a lot of people didn't want to listen to him. And so that's my analogy for this. I know that eventually the RWQCB is going to be dropping a bomb on your soil. So if you're interested at all in defending your property, because even if you don't have a CDO, you can't sell your house right now. You can put it up for sale, but see if you get any nibbles. And until we do get a wastewater treatment plan in, it's going to be like that. And I personally don't want to spend $350 or $375 every other month just to pump my system. And it's going outside of this town. It's not even going to stay in here. And that's not getting us any closer to getting a wastewater treatment system. So no matter how you feel, it probably behooves Los Osos to gather together and work with our elected officials. And if it so happens that the CSD is dissolved, we still have to work together, because they're not going to suddenly drop these cease and desist orders. That's not their intention. Their intention is to get our attention and to get a wastewater treatment plant built here in Los Osos as soon as possible. Now, personally, I think that the present CSD is of a like mind. They're trying to do the very best they can, and perhaps the former CSD members did too. Maybe they were scared. Maybe they said, well, we're going to put in this multi-gazillion dollar plant in the middle of town because we need to do it, because the RWQCB is breathing down our necks. And they were. But this is who we have right now. We have these five directors, and they're working their butts off to get us the best possible solution to this. They're not trying to stall. They're not trying to... Now, I know everybody has their own opinion, but my opinion is they're doing the best they can. They want to work with the RWQCB, and the RWQCB wants to do something, and they're trying to get it together. And Sam Blakesley, I've spoken to one of his representatives recently, is trying to do everything in his power to bring everybody together. He would like all of Los Osos at least to come to the bargaining table and sit down and try to work out a solution between the CSD, the RWQCB, and anybody out. We still have a long ways to go to get at least $20,000 as a retainer, for starters. So I'm going to put the copies of the bylaws, I guess I can put them on that table over there. And you can feel free to grab one of these and read it, but there's only five of them, so you know you could share them and then put them back for other people to read. And also, there's one other thing I'd like to say. Because I realize that Los Osos is in a bind, I've been writing like crazy to all of our elected officials. Sam Blakesley, Abel Maldonado, Lois Capps, Dianne Feinstein, Barbara Boxer, even Arnold. And I've got a letter right here to Arnold explaining the problem in Los Osos as I see it. I'm not taking sides. I would like Arnold to come down to the formal hearing for those of us who have received these CDOs. We're the initial test group. And I would like Arnold to use his power to persuade these people to do what is in the best interest of everyone. And I also have several copies of this that people can read. And I have one list that you can sign. I've had several people sign this already, and I mailed one letter to Arnold already. But for those of you who have not signed it and would like to maybe, you know, the more letters he gets, the more he might consider coming down to the hearing. And just his presence might make the RWQCB act in a reasonable way. I'm going to put up the list.
How can people contact you?
Wait a second. Mr. Barrow,
just let me finish first.
I'd let Mr. Moylan can finish his presentation, and then the board will have questions of him.
I've got this list here. It's for names and addresses. If you agree with my sentiments in this letter, and it's pretty neutral, actually, but we just want him to come down because nobody really wants a cease and desist order on their property. It's bad news, folks. Okay, I'll take questions.
Mr. Moylan, from the board, questions from the board.
I'm sorry.
That's okay, and then the public will ask questions during public comment.
Any questions from the board, members of the board?
What I wanted you to speak about, unless Mr. Scheip is here, is about the meetings and the coming to the tell the citizens how to come to your meetings, where they are, and what they can do between now and April 28th.
Well, we're meeting with a lawyer, I and the other board members of the Prohibition Zone. We're meeting at Coast National Bank. There's only one small room there, and I'd welcome.
Oh, I thought you were having another meeting Monday night to collect citizens, to collect documents for the preparation of your...
Oh, that's what you're talking about. Okay. Ask me that question one more time, please.
Your group has been meeting on a regular basis to discuss your cases and to discuss what you should be doing, and you've invited Ms. Robertson from Assemblyman Blakesley's office, and you're continuing to meet because you have to submit to the board by a certain time.
That's
and
right.
There is designated and interested parties, and everybody in Los Osos could be and should be an interested party.
Okay. It's a very formalized thing. You have to have a cover letter. You have to have your points of why you think you shouldn't get a cease and desist order. And also, you have to have documents. And this is to give you an idea of the RWQCB's congeniality. You have to make 12 copies of these. Two of these copies have to be sent to Sacramento. They have to arrive by April 5th. There's 8,000 documents to peruse. And they're in one cardboard box at the RWQCB. There's no rhyme or reason to it. They're not available on a computer. So you have to look through 8,000 pages of these things. And it almost all of it supports the RWQCB's position, which I think is valid in a lot of respects. So you really can't get any evidence from those 8,000 documents, and just trying to sort them out, it's almost impossible. But at any rate, the people who have gotten these cease and desist orders are meeting Monday night, and we welcome anybody else to come. However, we're going to be getting these people together to put their packages together, because everybody that got one of these that has been attending our meetings is frightened in a way. You know, they've got this outgo of $350 every other month that they're going to have to pay unless the board changes its mind. They have to produce 12 copies of everything. Some of these people are elderly. They scratch their heads. They don't know where to begin. And it's daunting. It really is. But if anybody else is interested in becoming an interested party, come on down and watch us try to get these packages together and help these people.
Okay, thank you. Director Tacker?
Mr. Moylan, could you give your contact information for your Legal Defense Fund, a mailing address?
Certainly.
And maybe the acronym, so people don't have to write it all out.
Okay. It's called the Prohibition Zone Legal Defense Fund. We can use an acronym. It's called PZLDF. We call it PIZLDF. PZLDF. So if you would like to write a check, we would greatly appreciate any monies. Unfortunately, this money is it's not tax deductible because we're not for profit, but to get a nonprofit status takes months. And we don't have that kind of time. The money is put into a non-interest-bearing account, so there's no identification number you have to file with the IRS. And all the money is being used solely for the legal defense and any little minor expenses for flyers or anything that we might try to notify people with. It's a big project. So if the address, if you want to mail a check or a money order, would be PZLDF, P.O. Box 6095, Los Osos, California, 93412. Or you can go directly to the bank, Coast National Bank, and say, I'd like to make a deposit to the Prohibition Zone Legal Defense Fund. They know about it, and they'll be glad to take your money and deposit it for us, because like I say, we need about $20,000 just to get a law retained. Any other questions from any other directors?
Any questions from the other directors at this time? Any staff questions at this time? The only last question I have, and then we better get on to our rest of our business, is do you have any recommendations for people perhaps going to the Regional Water Quality Board tomorrow speaking? Because they are in town, and there is general public comment at 1 p.m. in the afternoon.
The RWQCB is having an open public meeting?
Yes.
Do I have any comments?
Yes. If you are willing, or if anybody in the audience is willing, you could go and speak during general public comment tomorrow.
What time is it again?
The general public comment is after 1 p.m. and the agendas are on the table. And I would recommend anybody come and perhaps request that they reconsider this CDO idea.
That's a good idea. Like I say, it doesn't really matter if you're pro-sewer or anti-sewer. Most people I know, I don't know anyone who's pro-cease and desist order. It's like condemning your house. It's really what it is, because you can't really do anything until that thing is lifted. And once you get one, the RWQCB can suddenly decide, oh, we made a mistake. You have to pump it every month. You have to pump it every 2 weeks. There's no end to what they can do. So.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Moylan, very much for your presentation. The only other thing I'd like to add is if you're watching at home and you have a cease and desist order and you haven't made contact with this group, I would encourage you to do so. They're trying to organize and they're trying to protect your rights. And the most important thing to remember is even if you don't have a big case or you don't want to collect documents or you don't want to collect witnesses, you need to register your concerns. You need to be in the record that you object to your property receiving a cease and desist order.
And that is important, because if you don't do it now, you can't do it later. This will probably go to appeal. It's not going to end here at the regional board level, and you need to be in there. If you're not in there, you can't appeal later. So even if you don't have time to do anything else, you have to write the regional water board and express how you feel about receiving a cease and desist order. It's very important. And this group of citizens can help you, and the CSD has basic information, and the regional water board will help you with the procedures too. It's all on their website, what you have to do. So it's just very important, and I don't want you to think that you have a lot of time. It's due April 5th. So this is the last CSD meeting we'll have before then. That's why I thought it was important to bring it to the public's attention. And thank you again for Mr. Moylan and the efforts of the citizens. And he's left you all his contact information. So we'll move on to the next topic. Oh, yes, his letter to the governor is also on the table. I encourage you all to write letters. They have a great media packet, their group, on who to contact and how. And please contact them for more information, or please sign the letter before you leave tonight. So thank you. On back to Mr. Blesky.
Madam President, members of the board, members of the public, this evening we've got two items on our consent calendar. Item number four pretty much speaks for itself. And item number five, you have a report in your package. And essentially what we're doing this year is similar to what we did last year. We did get a request by Mission Country Disposal based account. And there's approximately $285,000 in the solid waste account reserves. And after an analysis and working with Mission Country Disposal and our representative, Sam Boykin, we determined that we could, based upon the recommendation of the committee, we looked at reducing again the franchise fee, as is in front of you this evening, from 7.15%, which is an interim fee. We were allowed to go as high as 10%. And reducing that down to 4.85% would be the equivalent of a to cover the expenses for Mission Country of that 3.3% rate increase. Therefore, what staff's recommending on that, and I know I'm getting a little long-winded on a consent item, is that in lieu of raising rates, that we reduce the franchise fee to 4.85%. We do believe that we will not see any type of a decrease in the reserve balances at the end of the year. And we're looking also to extend the franchise agreement with Mission Country Disposal until June 30th, 2008. And with that, I'd be more than happy to answer any questions that staff may have.
Okay, thank you. Does the board have any questions at this time? Vice President Fouché.
Dan, the reserve fund for the solid waste fund,
yes.
The reserves, have they been used for anything in the past?
Not that I'm aware of. Not that I'm aware of.
So it just pretty much sits there and collects interest?
It makes interest for the district, yes, for the citizens.
Was the 10% franchise fee, 10% is what we normally would have, and the reduction was, did they reduce that once before?
Yes, they did, to 7.15%. And that was done last year, right?
Yeah.
Right. They took it out of reserves, but I'm not sure if we got a reserve reduction.
Mr. Boykin's here. If he needs, do we need to answer any questions? Mr. Boykin, would you like to come up and express any, answer any of these questions, if you know?
Sam knows all about what
Sam
we got going on
well.
In solid waste. Don't let his quiet demeanor fool you.
Spring cleanup, the summer chipping, and the fall chipping. And that's what solid waste pays for. That was franchise fees pays for, those three items.
And how much do those normally cost?
Off the top of my head, last year, I think it's about maybe about $25,000.
Each or total?
All three. The biggest one is the one that's coming up next month, the spring cleanup. That number run about, been going up every year. So this year, I'm looking at maybe about $18,000,
okay,
just for the spring cleanup. The summer chipping basically was paid for about maybe $1,500.
Is there any other reason to use those reserve funds? Do you see any other need any emergency type situation, or we'd have to have some cash to fix something by equipment or anything else would be a reduction in the reserve fund.
The only equipment we have is the chipper, the truck. This year we're looking at three trailers, and instead of the big truck, we're looking at three trailers.
I've heard your presentations in the past. It sounds like they're pretty successful.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah. How much do you think we need in that reserve fund to maintain?
Vice President Fichet, could you hold that question real quick? Because I think with Sam, while we have him up at the podium, Sam, could you kind of explain how we've lost our fire-free grant of labor from the CCC and how that may impact us?
Yeah, unfortunately, right now, at the end of this month, the chipping the grant, then we go through CCC to get a grant, and that'd be to take care of a chipping. We had no expenses for the chipping for the last 4 years, but this year the funds go away at the end of this month, and so what CCC is trying to do is trying to get alternate funding to help us take care of the chipping events, because normally with the chipping, I really don't push to get volunteers that much, because CCC would take care of that, and really the grant money pays for CCC, and it have two chippers and CSD has one chipper reuse and reserve. And at some time that's going on, we have to take the chipper to a resident and chip, and I use that two chippers. But and then what we do with the money that I ask volunteers to our business to donate. We use that to pay for food, water, and sodas for the guys doing the chipping, because that's not a really easy job. That's a hard job out there, and those guys working consistently. We normally take half an hour for lunch, and I think they deserve that, more than deserve that, and so that's what we do. But the funds for the summer chipping, and right now the fall chipping is in jeopardy. So if we have to do that, then we have to really pay for the entire thing. So the summer and fall chipping, that can go up, because we don't have any help.
Vice President Fichet, if I can just add to that. Sam and I talked about this, and also with Karen. And what happens is we may end up having to get some trained labor to operate those chippers.
That's correct.
Because that used to be brought to us from the CCC.
Yes.
What Sam and I discussed is basically we kind of did we believe the reserves are more than adequate right now.
Yes.
However, normally what I would recommend would be to do a reserve evaluation, in other words, to right-size that. In other words, go in, take a look at other operations similar in size to us, working with Mission Country and all the other communities, to see what a reserve is needed for. That takes staff time that we probably don't have. So what we were looking at doing was seeing how this rate would run for a year, and if we dip too deep into the reserves, which we don't anticipate. We don't think we'll run out of reserves in 1 year. But that year will buy us the time to do that study when things calm down a little bit. But, yeah, I don't know. I have a better feel for water and wastewater, but not
for coming to the meeting, so. Okie-doke. Are we done with all the consent items, and we're ready to open to public comment for reports and...
Yes, ma'am.
And consent calendar. So at this time, if anyone would like to give public comment on the oral reports, the written reports, or this consent calendar only, come on up, please. Here's Mr. Taylor.
Good evening. George Taylor, Los Osos. I would like to follow up on... Director Sennett was talking about as far as the all these requests for information, public document requests. I don't want to burden the CSD staff, in other words, I don't want to burden them with extra expense or extra time, but is there any way that it can be worked into the process to where they can have at least a good ballpark estimate, guesstimate, to present to the public, because I think that you're going to probably have some adverse criticism, which comes along with the territory, as far as, well, how much is this all costing the CSD for all these public information requests? And I would like to just have you think about possibly putting together some kind of a figure that you could kind of hang your hat on, that to present to the public as to what all these public information requests have cost the CSD. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Taylor. We'll take that and ask staff to take a look at that. Mr. Ricana? Oh, Mr. Sennett, did you have something?
That might be a public records request in itself.
He's kidding. That's a calculation. Mr. Ricana.
Honorable President Schicker, board, friends, Joey Ricana, Ocean Outfall Group. Interestingly, when we look at the public records request, they all seem to be coming from just a small element of the community. A very large part of that element was recalled from this board last September. I think it's interesting to look at the dichotomy, because I shudder to think what would happen if some of the same kind of public records requests were made of former CSD board member Gordon Hensley's travel expenses when he was running around the state going from Coastal Commission meeting to Coastal Commission meeting, doing basically his own business. I'd like to announce that the Ocean Outfall Group is about to become California's newest 501c3, and we are seriously considering challenging Gordon Hensley for the designation of San Luis Obispo County Coast Keeper. So that ought to shake him up a bit. The Times, and then probably tertiary would be the order of the day, and they'd have to do it all over again. And at the same time, you're getting 4.5 years to do what would be the biggest sewer per capita in the United States history. Well, these are just some things to think about, and I'll be addressing the regional board tomorrow, and I thank you for this opportunity to address you tonight.
Thank you, sir. Who else would like to speak on the consent calendar and the oral reports?
Good evening, board. Chuck Krebs, Los Osos. On the public requests, I was wondering, and I don't know if it's advisable or even legal, but what about asking for volunteer help on that? And I know that the staff is short helped. Is that already? I think I'm getting that answer already. Myself, I'd be glad to put in 10, 12 hours of pro bono work, but that's probably even the wrong terminology there, too. But anyway, just an idea. Another thing is we were able, once again, being with local control, to switch subjects just for a second, on our waste pickups and rates this year. Local control kept a no rate increase again. That wouldn't have happened at the county. You would have been paying straight 10%, and a lot more than you would now if the county is in control of that kind of situation. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mr. McClendon, do you have any comment or about having volunteers help with public record requests?
I don't presume to know the inner clerical workings of the CSD, and I probably wouldn't be the person to ask. But from a legal standpoint, I know of no impediment for volunteer help if that would just simply be practical or not, which I'm not competent to answer.
Mr. Blesky or Mrs. Vega?
The practicality of I think that if we had a whole battalion of volunteers rush in to help us, that may clog up the doorways because space is kind of limited. But a good cadre of repeat volunteers that get up to speed on knowing where things are and how things are filed It would take a little bit of effort. I can see the value, but I can also see that you would get a bigger return on your investment for training those folks. But it would have to be folks that are consistently there for like 2 to 4 hours a week and could work. I know Jan's real easy to work with, except for me. She gives me a hard time. But I think, pardon? Yeah, they're just the learning curve. And, you know, just to make sure that we have the accountability in the documents, I think it could work.
Okay, Mr. Cribbs, you're on. How many hours did you say? We're going to look into how to do that, but what staff is saying is if we had a regular group of volunteers who are willing to do some training and be regular and consistent, that might work. So you're volunteered.
I said volunteer,
Carol. Oh, I see. His wife. He's volunteering his wife. What does she have to say about that? Okay, Mr. Tkach.
James Tkach, Los Osos, with regard to the presentation regarding the Prohibition Zone Legal Defense Fund, I highly recommend everybody in the Prohibition Zone get involved. These regional board has been emphatic, saying these are coming to your front door. They are. Hopefully, if we provide enough of a defense initially, maybe remember this still has to be, this is just the local regional board's executive officers plan to do. The regional board itself, this is a recommendation of staff, the regional board itself has to vote on it and approve whether or not these are going to go into effect, and that's what's going to happen later in April. So if we can present a strong case up front, maybe we can persuade the regional board not to take these actions and find some middle ground. So a strong defense now may help everybody in the long run. So putting on a good defense right now may save you from getting one later. So I highly recommend you contact his group and get involved. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Barrow?
Good evening. My name is Al Barrow, and I want to thank the staff and the board for making the decision to grade the Tri-W site. Those who go by and see it now, it looks so much better and so much safer. I really do appreciate that. It really bothered me. So more progress. I wanted to ask just a quick question. Will the negotiation notes from your negotiation with Blakeslee's be available anytime? And is there a response already from Pacific Legal Foundation, the people that they have their letter on the desk? I want to know if there was a response from them, from the request from Burke Williams and Sorensen, in regard to helping us with the regulatory problems here. And I want to thank Mr. Moylan. Very impressive job collecting $9,000 so quickly. Well done. Let's give him a hand on that one. Yeah. So I'm going to repeat his number, if you don't mind, 528-2324. And I hope everybody calls in. If everybody pitched in $50, like he said, you'd have a legal defense that could delay this until we get our sewer designed and going. And that could really save a lot of trouble. Thank you.
Thank you. I did forget to mention that our attorneys, Burke Williams and Sorensen, did put together a package for the Pacific Legal Foundation asking for their assistance in representing our community against this cease and desist order action. That packet is on the table if you want to read about what was submitted, and we have not received a reply yet. It was just sent out, my understanding. Mr. Buskey?
We haven't received a reply, but I did talk to Ms. Biggs, and evidently they're expediting it through their review process. They picked it up quite quickly, and they're looking at it.
Could you explain who the Pacific Legal Foundation is for the public?
I don't know if I can actually explain their mission, but what I understand is they're an agency that takes on controversial cases of this nature for, you know, in complex issues when you have issues of government. That is it. How do they work that? This is right up their bailiwick.
Yeah, well, my understanding of them is they're sort of a conservative counterpart to the...
They were collected by their office, so you have to go through their office to get those notes. We don't have them as of right now. So, okay, next speaker. Who else would like to speak about these items, consent or oral reports?
Richard Margetson. I want to talk first about the reduction in the franchise fee. Just so there's clarification. With this reduction and the way the budget is set up in this district by departments, even with this reduction, there will be an increase in reserves at the end of the year. The franchise fee will more than pay for what it takes Solid Waste Department to run and Sam to do his chipping days and collection days, and there still will be a bump in the reserve. This reserve got to this amount over the last 5 years or whatever by that addition each year, $285,000. So don't, I just didn't want it out there that we're doing this and we're taking it from reserves. We're not. That 285 will still be there at the end of the year and it will increase. And I wonder if we would have had that opportunity, because I actually think the first recommendation was to not reduce the franchise fee this year and to raise the rates, maybe go with Mission Countries. I wonder if it was in the hands of the county if we would have had that option. I wonder if there would have been a finance meeting in San Luis where we could have went to. You know what else is very interesting is, you know, the taxpayer watch group, they're going after you for everything under the sun, but there wasn't one person from the taxpayer watch group at that finance meeting where that decision kind of came to you. You still have to vote on it, but there wasn't one person from the taxpayer watch group at that meeting voicing a concern about taxpayer dollars. Let's be very clear that this group only shows their face when it's something they can do outside this district. But anything for this district, there's no appearances. Mr. Moyland, I wonder how many from the Taxpayer Watch Group have contacted him to help with this legal defense fund or made a contribution. I'm going to leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, thank you.
Madam President.
Yes, Mr. Buskey.
Just one comment is that, you know, the subject was brought up about the contribution of the financial committee and you know, being an engineer, I'm doing more finance and more revenue stuff than I ever hoped to do. But the value of that committee was absolutely indispensable. I mean, the amount of comments and the tossing around was – that was the right move. And I really appreciate the support. And some of the questions they ask are hard, but they do well for the community. And I'd like to thank them.
Yes, thank you for saying that. I also would like to thank the
direction. My name's on here several times. And a lot of times it was, this is the direction to go. Could you please take that route? And I did it. And I didn't depend upon their staff to find stuff for me. When they said this is a burden, I said I backed off. I think I sent Dan Blesky an email saying that considered all my requests for documents satisfied. So no beef there. There should have been a report out of the Wastewater Committee because it was big, it was lively, and the right questions were asked. And people should, if there's a, there's audio tape, you should probably listen to it, and the right questions were asked. And it was rude awakenings and bursting of some bubbles, I think, as far as, you know, we're barely making this under the wire for any of the projects, any of the reports. We're about 2.5 months behind schedule, I would think, due to outside and inside forces. I think what's the work is going on in the finance committees is this is where the people get to shine. And the great ideas and the great responses and the back and forth and the great debate that goes on there. If you're just attacking the CSD and you're not in that or part of that, trying to find answers, then you're not for the community. You're against the community. Come on, show us what you got. Put it on paper. Sit there and listen and ask the right questions. Put some heat on these guys. So other than that, I'm happy with what's going on. I'm not happy. But I think administration, I ran on administration last on the recall. I didn't run against Dan Gustafson. I didn't run against my opponent. And I'm running for a seat come up in November. It's on administration, cooperation, communication, and compliance. And that's what we're looking for. And we're going to stick to the codes, the statutes, the codification of those statutes, the policies, and we're going to come up with the right answer. Whether we have it here or there, or it's this or that, we follow the rules, the regulations, and the codes. Jeopardy. Thank you. We'll get where we need to go. Thank you.
Hey, what happened to that 30-second, Bob? Where are you? We usually have 30 seconds on the clock after the yellow. Ms. Taylor?
Good evening. My name is Gwen Taylor. I'm a resident of Los Osos, and I'm asking all of the community to remember why you moved to Los Osos. Los Osos has been a progressive, not regressive, community. The accomplishments by a due diligent grassroots community is evident every day and every way. Through petitioning, lobbying, collecting, and individually lobbying the Board of Supervisors and sitting at board meetings in San Luis Obispo, the community has benefited. We have a state park reserve. We have the Sweet Springs. We have the community with a labor that renovated the old barn, Red Barn, if you wish. We also built happening. We, the community, worked. And the equipment and the enjoyment of looking to the south and seeing beautiful hills, not homes built to the very peak of the tops of the hills, was the effort of the community. Los Osos voted three different times to form a CSD. The CSD is our governmental body. Work with this body, the people you can talk to without having to go into San Luis Obispo, making an appointment, and finding out when you have been told that you will have a half hour of conference to be told that you have only 10 minutes. The Board of Supervisors work hard, but they do not represent a whole community. They represented a whole district. They have their own individual places on their agenda. Please remember that. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'd like you to please refrain from, we kind of had a rule before about the clapping, so could we, we're losing people, so come on.
Hi, Bill Moylan. Now I'm talking informally. I would just like to say that I am in favor of local government. If we have good government, we stick by them. If we have bad government, we have the recall process, which happened in October of last year. And all I can say is the people that got recalled, if they had been doing their jobs, they probably would not have gotten recalled. I'd like to say that I do think that the county, as good as it might be for San Luis Obispo City, hasn't really given much to the community of Los Osos. And so people that are considering dissolving the CSD in Los Osos really need to consider what they would be getting in return. They wouldn't be getting any kind of local government, and they wouldn't be getting an active government, one that really cares about Los Osos. For years and years, I've lived in Los Osos since 1983, and the streets are pretty much in the same condition that they were when I moved here, only much worse with potholes. They haven't been repaved except for a very few, like maybe Los Osos Valley Road and South Bay.
Streetlights. I'm not in favor of streetlights, but if people are, do we have them? No, maybe in Cabrillo Estates, that's all. We don't have very many parks. We've been put on the back burner. Los Osos has been put on the back burner by the county, and that's what will happen if the CSD is dissolved. It'll go back on the back burner, and who knows what will happen. Anyway, I'm pretty much wrapped up with what I have to say, and I do support you people, and I hope to continue to work with you and just keep working and doing the right thing like you have been. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Who else would like to speak during consent calendar or oral reports?
To be even more involved, I never checked out what liabilities they would be, et cetera, in doing heavier work. I certainly can't operate heavy machinery. But it was a fun day for me, so I'd recommend people do that. I probably will again. Just a way to keep the place clean and meet people, be out there in the sunshine. As far as a community cleanup, without pointing fingers, somewhere on 11th Street, intersecting not far from a school, I was driving around, I saw a yard, and it had a Christmas tree in it. It wasn't this year's Christmas tree, it was last year's Christmas tree. And so part of community cleanup may be to suggest in completely neutral tones to your neighbor, if your neighbor hasn't initiated the cleanup, you may want to mention it to your neighbor who has something that's an eyesore for you, that there is a cleanup, sort of casually, without. But that is one thing that we have here is a sense of community. We have a very unique town, and I think most people really want to keep it as much as possible, both with a sense of community and visual impact that it has now. The state, the water board, they'll be holding a hearing. I won't be able to attend. Last time I was there, I spoke in public. I wasn't intimidated by a man who is the chairman of one of seven water boards in a state which has an economy that's been said to be the fifth largest in the world. But they do tend to use theatrics in responding to members of the public. So just remember, those that wear pants put them on one leg at a time, just like you do. They will do a little theatrics. If you support the information you give, believe in it, and don't buy into their responses. For example, we are not polluting the Morro Bay beyond a very minuscule amount, and we really shouldn't accept a responsibility that has been put on us for political reasons, as opposed to the groundwater, which we will, and for our own sakes, clean up. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Perlman, who else would like to speak? Mr. Ellaby? Just watch that clock, because you don't have much time between yellow and red. So it's not working like it was before. So.
Okay. Okay. Last Monday, I was at the... At our little meeting, I'm one of the guys on the A group here, and there's about 26 of us there. And I've never sat in on a hearing or a court case or anything in my life, or I saw so many honest, hardworking, well-intentioned people that were just there trying to keep their homes, basically. Or that was the attitude they had. You could see the fear in their faces. So what we've got here is and only 2.3% of it was coming from humans. Mr. Kitz, I think, did a test, might have been a different time of the year or something, and he came up with 1.5%, I believe. But there's two things I don't know why we can't do this. First of all, I don't know, I think what they've done here, they've divided us into 50-person groups, knowing that 50 people can never get together enough money to to hire truly competent legal help. And the and knowing that, I don't know why the CDOs can't hire the same law firm as the CSD, not with you, but as additional plaintiffs. You might have some answers for that one. And, you know, the way to fix all this is obvious. All these government agencies, San Luis Obispo County, the National Estuary Program, the Regional Water Quality Board, state and federal government, should be researching and implementing the latest, greatest, most cost-effective sewer technology and helping us with this project, not just sitting around finding us. The last time the Regional Water Board did a sewer technology research was about 1995, before the CSD was formed. And I'm sorry, is that it or no?
All I have.
Thank you, Chris, very much. Who else would like to speak? Mr. Payne? Mr. McClendon, is that doable, or should we look into it, or the question about hiring the same lawyers?
Well, I think that's just an issue of conflict of interest in that law firm. Like all law firms, when they're faced with multiple clients that maybe on the share a commonality of being on a defensive position, then there's an assessment that they would do. I wouldn't presume to do that for them, but that would be something that they would look at. There are certain abilities for, even if there is a potential for a conflict, that the individuals can waive that that potential with a written waiver. But again, that would just be something that they would have to assess if they were presented with this situation.
Mr. Allaby, we'll look into it.
Yeah, that's it's something we'll that could be explored. I would probably want to ask special counsel to assess that.
Okay. Yes, Mr. Payne.
Good evening, Madam President, board, staff, and public. Right off, I want to thank staff for the information they got me. I'm trying to build a little case of my own for the 28th. I'm on a little different page than some, but I'm getting some technical information. Sorry, I should have known the first of it wouldn't have been in the CSD files. It was information that I wanted from back when the county had it. So I don't know if I'll be able to get it from the county or not. Anyway, they're very nice to work with. Anyway, I did get...
I wasn't going to speak. Bo Cooper. What Chris Albee was suggesting, I've always advocated that the CSD should be the lead agency fighting against the Water Board, because, and now that you're a designated party, I like the idea of our lawyers, our CSD lawyers, representing all the people. I don't know if we can chip in or how to divide up the obligations and responsibilities, but I like the idea a lot that CSD lawyers should be the lawyers for our group. It gives us deeper pockets. It gives us gives the right people responsibility to lead the charge against the bad guys. Thanks.
Thank you. I'm going to... Sorry, Mr. Jones.
I'm Michael Jones. Would it be permissible for me to use my time to make a brief public service update on the Williams family benefits and events?
Yes, I will allow that. Since we made announcements, you can make one.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's fine. That's fine. Okay. Go right ahead.
Mike Williams is a regular United States Postal Service carrier for the Baywood neighborhood. The Williams family lives in Los Osos, and daughter Alana attends Baywood Elementary. There's a short email here that was read at the post office. Kind of a summary. On February 12th, a 10-year-old girl that was very precious to many of us here in Los Osos was caught unaware by a riptide and a rogue set of waves at the beach in Morro Bay. We believe Alana was underwater for up to 15 minutes before some courageous surfers found her. Then the members of the Morro Bay Fire Department joined in her rescue. For those who saw her when Captain Todd Galley brought her to the beach and began CPR, Her young life seemed to be over. But by the mercy of God and expertise of many rescue and medical professionals, over the next 24 hours, both there on the beach, in the ambulance, in Sierra Vista emergency room, in the helicopter and cottage hospital in Santa Barbara, we saw Lana eventually open her eyes and word the mouth mom when she looked over and saw her mother by her side. While we are very thankful for this miracle, Lana still has a long way to go. She's still not eating on her own, nor can speak intelligible words. For most of the last 3 weeks, she has slept. For most of the last 3 weeks, she has been in the pediatric ICU at Cottage Hospital. We have no way of knowing how long this ordeal will last, but we do know medical costs will be astronomical. Mike does have insurance through the post office, yet we do not know how much all of this, plus weeks and months of therapy that has to come, their insurance will cover. Mike was asked if any bills had come. He said with a smile, only one, went on to say it was a helicopter bill for $31,000. There are two organized events coming up. These events are about a show of support from the community. One cannot quantify the value of such a precious thing. I guess you've announced the events. The first one is next Tuesday at 7 p.m. It's a concert at the Baywood Elementary. 7 p.m. There's also an account at Midstate Bank that you can make a donation to. Okay. And then you can call 534-2856 also for information on a donation. There's
yes. Next speaker. Yes, Mr. Vesely.
Hello, thank you. I'm Anton Vesely, a recent October arrival in Los Osos. I want to ask a stupid question. Forgive me as a newcomer. Made me make a suggestion. The whole prohibition zone, as I understand it, is based basically on contamination of an upper aquifer that we can't pump drinking water from, so we pump it from a lower aquifer. The upper aquifer is contaminated. So, and that is too high, and that's why these septic systems don't work. Now, instead of pumping everybody's individual sewer every 2 months and shipping it off to Santa Maria, Bakersfield, wherever, why don't we pump that upper aquifer contaminated water to the same place? It's the same kind of contamination. And then this would allow the septic systems to resume normal function. It's still pumping, and it costs money, but it'd be a lot more productive, and it would let things work until we have our own sewer plant built. If anybody could shed any further light on that, I'd love to hear it. That's all.
Thank you, Mr. Vesely. Mr. Miller, would you like to comment on that?
Thank you, Madam President. Appreciate Mr. Vesely's comment. We have submitted a grant application actually with a very similar idea to construct shallow wells in the shallow aquifer and use some of that water not out of our water basin but actually to irrigate some croplands to the east of town, which would keep the water here local. And also have the added benefit of perhaps dropping some of those groundwater levels. So we feel that that is an idea that has some merit, and hopefully we'll get some response to that grant application.
That's great. Yeah, and for being a newcomer, you sure got a hold of the idea. You sure got it pretty quick. Yeah. And also, I don't know if you know, but during our negotiations with Assemblyman Blakesley and the state, this was top on our list as a proposal, was to pump the upper aquifer, because we totally see what you see. Okay. Anybody else like to speak during this part of the meeting? I'm going to close it to public comment and bring it back to the board. Director Tacker?
Oh, no. I'm ready to move that we accept the consent calendar and the reports for this evening.
Do we have a second?
Second, then.
Okay. Mrs. Vega, do we need a vote, roll call, or on this, or?
Well, actually not on this particular one, so if you wanted to voice vote, that's okay. Cool with me. Thank you.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Do we have any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Okay. Right. Okay. Okay, that passed, but Director Sasanian would like to speak.
I would like to encourage everyone to get involved in the cleanup days, chipping days. They're fun ways to meet your neighbors. They do help clean things up. And Alon, if I get calls from my neighbor, I'm coming after you.
Do you need a handout? I have one here if you... It's a pretty important event, and just make sure the community knows about it.
Thank you, Madam President. There's two events going on next year, next month. One, April 3 through 7.
Can you hear me now? Okay. Thank you. There's two events really going on next month. The first one is put on by Mission Country on a day of your pickup. It's April 3 through 7, the day of your pickup. You can leave out, like, I think it's 12 bags or 12 cans. And any large items, you need to call Mission Country at least 2 days before. Like you have refrigerators or freezers, things like that. You need to call them and make an arrangement for them to pick it up. Now, what they would do, they pick it up and they put it on your bill. Now, if you can do that, it would help me out quite a bit. It may take my day or so to pick it up because they use a little small van doing that, and that really helped me out, especially because of volunteers and those guys I mentioned currently. They're young and they're strong. So April 3rd through 7, on the day of your pickup, you need to call them like the, I believe in March 30th, something like that, and make an arrangement. You know, if you want Mission Country to pick it up. Now, on April 23rd and 22nd, we have LCSD have their cleanup days, which is 2 days. April 22nd and 23rd. Now, what you need to do, you need to call me, and when you call, give me your last name first and your first name, and spell it for me, please. And also give me the name of your cross street. And we hopefully have volunteers to help us out, and necessarily the utility department also would help me out. It was mandated several years ago that that's one thing they must do on cleanup days. They must help out because they're volunteers. And they will drive the vehicles. And I try to put two of them together. And we also need the community. And like I say, last November, it's been really traditional that the board help out. And So be there, Chuck. Yeah, you're my neighbor, right? So be there, and on April 22nd and 23rd. And by the way, we do break for lunch. We just work straight through, but we start at 8, and we normally break from lunch from about 11:30 to 12, half an hour for lunch. And any questions?
What time should I be there?
8 o'clock.
Someone knows me too well.
Yeah.
Part of CDF has retired after 33 years on the job, and the board had suggested that we honor him with a proclamation, as is traditional for us to do for people who have supported the district. And it turns out that Chief Turner is having a retirement party given to him on Friday, April 7th, and it was suggested that would be an opportune time for a member or members from the board to attend that party and present the proclamation to Chief Turner. The text of the attached proclamation was put together by both myself and with a lot of help from Battalion Chief Veneris at South Bay, and his people. And this is the text that I am proposing. Of course, it'll be put on our beautiful, fancy proclamation paper. It will be matted and framed and as suitable for you to give as a gift. But this is staff's recommendation that you do adopt this proclamation and then decide among yourselves who would be able to attend the ceremony. I believe that Mr. Blesky has the details with Ann at the office for, you know, directions and all of that. But it is Friday the 7th in Pismo Beach is Chief Turner's party.
Thank you. Any questions from the board? This is a public comment item. Would anyone like to speak?
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. I think Dan Turner is... He's been a wonderful CDF chief, and he sure stepped up to the plate for us here in Los Osos and got us reorganized and got our financial things straightened out without adding a lot of expenses that was planned. So he's been very helpful, and he donated a lot of time before he was actually hired. So I think him and Chief Villagaris, is that his name?
Villagaris.
Huh?
Veneris.
And I would ask all the board members to talk closely to your mic. We can't hear you. It doesn't pick up when you're talking like this. Thank you.
How's that? Is that better? Okay. Yes, Mr. Taylor?
George Taylor, Los Osos, retired firefighter. I'd like to add my congratulations to Dan Turner for his service to us, to the county, and to us in particular here in Los Osos. We were headed to a train wreck with our fire service here, and with his help, he got us back on, got all the wheels back on the ground. I'd also like to say that I have a special feeling for our new chief, Matt Jenkins. I knew Matt Jenkins when he was just a teenager, before he ever went to work for South Bay Fire Department.
Richard Margetson. I agree with Mr. Taylor completely. Matt Jenkins is going to make a great fire chief. He was also instrumental in the transition to CDF for this community. But Dan Turner, at a time, and I've mentioned this before, so I'll be brief, at a time when we're at a crossroads of which direction to go with whether this fire department was going to be able to respond to two simultaneous calls, he kind of put it over the top. So anybody who ends up being the second call, you have him to thank for, in part. Thank you, and I'm for this proclamation.
Thank you very much. Anybody else like to speak? Mr. Payne?
Good evening again. Bruce Payne, resident of Los Osos. Dan Turner's one of my favorite people. I remember one night when he visited the CSD and spoke, and I went outside on the porch and talked to him for another half hour, I think, about some of the problems that we were facing and the politics that were not working too good at the time. And then the other time I met him at my chiropractor, we had the same chiropractor, and we talked some more about our political problems. So I wish we could do more for him than just a proclamation. So thanks for thinking of it.
Thank you very much. Anybody else like to speak on this? Closing public comment. Bring it back to the board. Questions or comments? May I have a motion?
Is there a race?
You're the liaison.
I am the liaison to the Emergency Service Committee, and I'd be happy to make this motion that we adopt this recommendation for this proclamation of service. How about a second?
Sure, I'll second that.
Okay. Okay, any other further discussion? Voice call vote okay? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. All opposed? Okay, it passes. We're going to take a short break before the last item on the agenda. Oh, I'm sorry, Director Sestania? Oh, no. Okay, take a short 10-minute break, and we'll be right back. Oh, Mrs. Vega?
Do you want to decide who's going to present, or you'll decide that later?
We'll decide later, looking at our calendars.
Okay, and I just wanted everyone to know that within sometime next week, I'll have that proclamation, and then I'm going to need signatures between now and the 7th of April. So I would appreciate being able to work with you guys and your schedules to get that done, because we won't have a board meeting. Thank you.
This is one of the things that we've been waiting for a number of weeks. This is the evening that we consider consultant selection for folks to update the project report. This is the step to define in very specific terms the project that you're proposing. I know that there's been many concepts, concrete concepts, and this will take those and flesh them out into a plan that's on paper, a site that can be pursued, and a budget and schedule that can be reported to the community. So it's a real pleasure to bring this item to you this evening. We did issue a request for proposals. That's a document that you send out into the consulting community. The intent of that document is to award a contract for update of the project report based on qualifications of a team. And that can be contrasted with, say, a bid to build something which is based on the lowest price and the lowest price for the responsive bidder. This is primarily qualifications based, and then we negotiate the price and the scope of the work. So that's how this will go. This is the first stage, the selection of the team for negotiation purposes. The second stage will be we'll negotiate the price and fee and bring back a contract for your consideration at a subsequent meeting, hopefully 2 weeks from today. On March 3rd, we did receive three proposals from teams, and we're very appreciative of all three proposals that we received. And they were from ABG Incorporated. We have a representative in Gary McLernan tonight. Thank you very much. Ripley Pacific Company, and Dana Ripley is represented with Baum & Sheik tonight. And then Lombardo Associates, and we have Pio Lombardo here. Thank you, Pio and Charles Logie. So we have all three teams here represented tonight. There was a selection committee that was formed to review the proposals and conduct some interviews, and that was comprised of myself, Tom Hoke, a consultant for the district, Vice President Fouché, Director Sennett, and Marty Wilder of Laguna Sanitation District, an outside representative. And basically we interviewed all three teams, very pleased with the proposals that we received, and we narrowed it down to a very tight race between two teams, and those are Ripley Pacific Company and Lombardo Associates. We did end up recommending a team, the selection team did, and we did recommend that Ripley Pacific be allowed to go to the next stage of negotiation. The three primary reasons that we selected at that time were the strong regulatory and wastewater system experience in California, their familiarity with the Los Osos wastewater project since they've been involved in reviewing the project for several years, and then their strong agricultural exchange expertise that they brought to their team. I would note very carefully here this evening that we would be delighted to work with either Lombardo or Ripley, both very strong teams, and therefore you had a different recommendation that came out of your wastewater committee. We went to that committee on Tuesday night, have a very lively discussion. I really appreciated the committee's involvement in the issue. And the wastewater committee recommended that the contract be awarded to Lombardo Associates by a 3-2 vote. And their primary reasons that were Lombardo provided a very happy to work with either team, and you'll probably even hear some, maybe some different thoughts from your interim general manager. And that's why I think you will not see a strong recommendation from staff on this item. We're going to leave it to the board to look at these very strong proposals. And you have one recommendation from your selection team and one recommendation from your wastewater committee. So you're going to have to make those decisions here this evening. One thing that we would encourage you to do is that time is of the essence on this process. We do want to hit the ground running. We have a tight schedule to be able to issue a project report this summer, and we are asking that you select this evening. There could be an approach of further negotiations with both teams, but we're encouraging the board to select a team tonight, whichever way you go, and then let us bring back a contract to you for consideration. There was a letter issued by Lombardo Associates asking for some further clarification of their scope of work and looking at some of their man-hour estimates. They were also raising some issues that they saw as responsiveness issues in the Ripley proposal. We provided that to the board. We've also talked to legal counsel about that and received an opinion from Julie Biggs, basically indicating that for professional services, you are free to select whichever consultant team that you feel you need to select this evening. And so we've received that opinion. Let's see here. Budget. We provided some text. Obviously, we haven't negotiated the fee yet. But one of the things we'd like to do tonight is get some closure with the board on what options you would like us to bring back to you. We're going to end up negotiating scope and fee. That doesn't mean we're going to bring back one price for one scope. It could be, here's what you could get for $300,000 to $400,000. Here's what you could get for $600,000 to $700,000. You would not be able to accomplish the full scope of the RFP for $300,000 to $400,000. I think that's going to be pretty clear. But you may be able to accomplish a more focused scope that would meet your basic needs. So we provided some guidelines there, and we'd like some, to get some guidelines back from the board. So with that, you have the staff report. I'm sure you've reviewed the proposals. We'd be happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Sorry about that. Thank you very much, Mr. Miller. Mr. Blesky, do you have anything to add to the presentation by Mr. Miller?
Just two things, actually three. The first thing is, as I said at the committee meeting, is it's the teams that proposed really have really given us, I think, an outlook on exactly what the board and the community has envisioned for quite some time, on a thorough evaluation of not only older proven technology, but also new technology that has not been that may not have been available for years, and they bring a focus that really incorporates the developments over the past 4 years in the newer technology, and very strong at that. Both teams have dealt with incredibly tough situations, and they have, and all three is, this is what you get when you get good proposals. You get a tough choice. You've got some of the finest people that have come and put their foot forward to show that the vision that the community has is doable, and more doable every day. But the downside of that is that you have good folks who you want to hire, all of them, and you have to make a choice. And that's why we punted. But I think I would be happy to answer any questions as the course of conversation goes on, and we can fill in the blanks, because I'm sure there's going to be a lot of questions, discussions. I'm sure that the teams would be more than happy to answer any questions that you may have, and let's get started.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Would the members of the, would either Director, Senator, Vice President Fouché have anything to add at this time that you'd like the board or the public to know about the interview process or your selection or your choice? Would you like to say anything additional? No. Vice President?
Uh,
The process that we followed was, of course, reading the written proposals presented by all of the consultants and going through the process of interviewing all of the consultants face-to-face and their teams as they came in. And I've got to say that I'm very impressed with both teams, all three teams. I shouldn't say both. All three teams. ABG did a very fine job. Lombardo, Ripley, they both gave good presentations. Lombardo, I think his written proposal was very professionally done, very thorough. They did a very good job on that. Dana Ripley, he brought some past history and experience to Los Osos that he's done in the past and has the California expertise maybe a little more than the Lombardo group. And I'll just, I won't go too far into that except for that's, I'm echoing what Rob had just said, is one of the reasons why the selection committee selected his group. Very evenly qualified. I would not hesitate to hire either firm to do this work. And I have full confidence that either firm could do the work and get the job done and get what we want. The product that we want at the end of the day, these people can do it for us. And it's a highly accelerated schedule for an engineering firm to do this. I'm not sure if the community understands how quickly this really is. It's 20 weeks to get a final product. So it's hitting the ground running and pretty much not stopping until the final project is approved. So it's a big effort, but it's one that this community, I think, needs to see from what we've looked at in the past. I think this is the roadmap to the future. And it's something that we want out of this report. We pretty much know the issues in Los Osos parallel and come up with an answer after those negotiations are done.
Madam President, that is an option available to you. Staff would I didn't want to skip another board meeting from a schedule perspective because the time is ticking and we're already looking at out in August for the final. But that is an option available to you. I know in the county's Nacimiento Water Project, another very large project, Corollo Engineers and Black and Veatch were neck and neck on qualifications, and we were involved in one of those teams. And the they ended up negotiating with both teams, price and scope, and ultimately selected one of the teams based on what they felt was the more favorable price and scope, since they were both equally qualified.
Do you think that would delay the start of the contract?
I think that's a potential yes, because you're going two ways at one time, and then negotiating with one team allows us to do all the contract language and that sort of thing. You're not just doing scope and fee. You're talking about your contract. We're bringing back to you a contract to execute, saying, here it is, execute a contract. But you're probably talking about a week or two at most delay. We're not talking a month. So those are the parameters.
Okay. Thank you, Rob.
Director Sennett?
Well, it was a very interesting process, and we really were lucky to get a chance to talk to these people, the teams. And I think, you know, they all had strengths in different areas in some respects. And when we look at the prepared proposals, the documents, they came in various forms, and the extent to which they went into detail on some things indicated in some ways strengths, in some ways it pointed out maybe an incomplete understanding of some of the problems and some of the remedies. It's a way to go. It's thought out, but that's why we're writing this project report again, to find the right direction for this community. I don't think it's going to, you know, can be published in this report, this proposal. And so, you know, based on this proposal, it doesn't give us an idea where we're going necessarily. And there are other factors that came up during the interview, and in some ways the elements that we're missing in one proposal created questions and allowed us to explore ideas with the consultant. And in some ways, you contain the elements you need. It's a proposal to do this, and you have to look at the team behind it. You know, it's our luck to have two people that two firms that we saw rise to meet our expectations, and they both have different styles, and it's a very difficult thing to choose. So in some ways, it's just a judgment call. Even though we have many figures in here and ideas, and some of them are alike and common between the three groups, some of them are different. But you can't say, I like that idea necessarily, because it may not prove out to be the ultimate solution or even worth considering. So, you know, our job is indeed a tough one. And, you know, if we would be able to consider a dual track for considering scope and cost, that would be ideal. You know, both the groups create an intrigue in me that wants to develop their information a little bit further. And if we were to choose one group tonight, I think there would be a part of me that would feel that there was an opportunity missed. The disadvantage to that is, you know, you make one of the competitors go to the trouble of another exercise, and that would be unfortunate. But if both groups were agreeable to that, I would entertain that. And otherwise, I do have a preference at this point.
Madam President, just one quick note on that. I do think if the consultants are willing to put in the extra effort that it would take to advance their scope and fee and contract, I think it would be possible to bring back something where you could literally award a contract. I don't mean to imply that was impossible, just maybe not typical. So we could roll up our sleeves and do that. I don't know how Mr. Blesky feels about that.
Mr. Blesky.
The one thing that I think we have to be really careful of is that we need to stay focused on scope. What I don't want this to come into is a bid, because this is going to work against both the consultants and it'll work against the board.
Correct.
Because what happens, where the danger is, at least I see the risk, is that we put these two firms into a competition. Is that when we sit in I have my opinions on from the information that I saw, and also, and I've listened to the selection panel, and I've listened to the committee. And one of the things that the committee, although the committee raised some good questions and really filled in a lot of the areas where I think sometimes may not have been considered by the panel, and I'd have to, you know, let the panel discuss those items, is that those of us that are looking at the written documents in hand are only looking at the proposals. We were not there for those interviews. So I think that when you make your decision, keep that in mind. So, and I think we have to defer a lot to what the selection panel heard in those interviews. And that's what these qualifications-based selections do a lot, too, is although we do a weighting of what we're looking for when we put the RFP out, remember, these are the technical experts that really do know where the emphasis may need to be shifted when we're doing the competition. So the weighting is, it's common for the weighting to change on certain topics. We may find that one topic is more important than the other. I know we have a high value on delivery. We do have a tight schedule. But there was other things, and I can't remember anything that comes up specifically, where we had weighted it lower. And during the interview process and the review process that the team and the proposers went through, that focus shifted. That's common in qualifications-based selection because the scope or the importance of certain items start rising up or some falling away. So mine is, you know, like I said, I can go either way on the teams, but I do know that a couple of the things that were not brought up, there was was perception in front of committee that Lombardo and Associates had not had much California experience. They did work in Malibu. They know John Yaroslavsky, Dean. I think you know John as well. So they know all. We have John Yaroslavsky coming in to help us with our septic management system. So either team can dovetail with John. The some of the items that were brought up was working in older areas and on high conflict, working in estuary areas. Those things were discussed at committee, too. And I think that kind of is why we kind of came to this point where we are right now and where I think some things did shift. So I think you'll see that brought up in the discussion as well.
Mr. Miller?
Madam President, maybe one way that you could proceed, and after public comment, of course, would be to have a discussion on scope. One way to avoid sort of a price war, you know, closed envelope type of thing would be to say, here are maybe two broad approaches that you want to see when we come back to you, and we'll attach a level of effort to each one and give us some budgetary guidelines, plus or minus $50,000, $100,000, and we can try to tailor those and say, hey, this is not a price war. This is a level of effort and approach that we're looking to fine-tune between now and 2 weeks from now to come back for a contract award. So that both technology and up to five sites, I actually think it was two minimum. Could be obviously more than that. We had water management or disposal, multiplicity of approaches, including perhaps some modeling. We had some decentralized options for on-site systems and looking at three different technologies. We had a requirement to put together a detailed budget and schedule at the end. So very broad scope, and that would be the full boat, and that might cost, you know, it could cost $1 million to do all that. So that would be one scope, and each team would have a different approach to accomplishing that scope. One team would maybe look at two sites because we want to focus. Another team would say, no, we want to be more broad. Look at 10 sites because you really have to do this. And they'd have different approaches to that scope and a different level of effort for their approach. And they're each trying to shoot for the winning approach and the approach that they feel is most appropriate for Los Osos. But the board sets forth, here's the product we want. We want the full boat. Another option might be, hey, we want to focus in on basic collection, step stage versus gravity, a more focused analysis. We want to look at two sites only. We want to narrow it to no more than three or four treatment plant technologies. We don't want to look at 10 technologies. And we want to look at water management, using a combination of ag exchange and reclamation and the existing contemplated disposal sites. And that's it. And then the budget and the schedule that you put together could be more broad as opposed to what was contemplated in the RFP. We'll do that later. And that would be more the laser beam approach, and that might cost, you know, $300,000 or $400,000 on the lean side. You might even trim back some of the meeting load that was contemplated. I think there was 10 board meetings and 6 wastewater committee meetings, something like that. You might trim that back to a few fewer meetings to save on budget and expedite the process. So that would be an example of a scaled down approach. And you could further scale down the approach, but that would be one example for a lower fee. Each team would have a different approach to that scale back scope. So we could bring you both and say the next meeting you're going to decide on a contract and decide on an approach and award a contract on that basis.
Okay. Mr. Baskin?
One of the ways, Mr. Miller did a really good job of describing scope, but through the process, we generally know where we need to be. For example, we have a criteria that we want to be there on August the 4th. Now, we feel pretty, that's a need that we have. But through this process, we bring two unique teams that may have a unique or a special way of looking at a problem or an understanding of the problem that we may not be aware of. And that's how this process works. If you compare it to, like, construction, and I do this really loosely, in construction sometimes you'll find a contractor who has developed a special technique for, you know, boring under whatever, that gives them, that we may not be aware of, that gives them a competitive advantage. What we're refining here is our needs and wants. Then we can fix a level of effort, and we can also fix a price. For example, I think we brought up one of the consultants was looking at, they had a bigger, Lombardo had a very large scope, and it was more like some of the items in that, where it was very complete. But some of those, for example, I think we were looking at doing a site-by-site assessment on septic tanks. But what happens is that that's there, and it gives you an idea of what it would entail in person hours. But at the same time, the negotiation of the scope is, hey, hold it, we also have our septic management program. That may be a redundant effort. So through this process next, you're going to start seeing some of this fall away. And that's why you negotiate scope.
Madam President, one more note. I don't want to presume, number one, I don't want to put our consultants on the hot spot here, but also don't want to presume that both teams would be amenable to go in another round of detailed scope and fee. I don't want to presume that. And so that might be something that we get some input on here this evening before the board, whom I sense is going that direction. Takes that direction.
Vice President?
And then again, how much delay are we looking at to do that? Are we looking?
If everybody's very available next week, we can probably minimize the delay. We might lose a week.
Yeah. Well, we know time is of the essence, and I appreciate both your comments on what we're asking you to do. It has been a very difficult thing. We need to make a choice, and I think we need to get on with it. We've got two good qualified companies here to look at, and whether or not we want, I think it's obvious we're probably going to reduce the scope. We either pick somebody tonight or try to go through another week's worth of town scoping for both consultants, if we want to do that, or all three. But if that delays it for another week, I hate delaying it all at all, delay anything at all. But, well, I think we need to think about it. Maybe we need to listen to the public.
Mr. Miller?
The only thing I would note that you probably do have a week of float at the end of the job, between the end of August and the first week of September. say the job probably does have a week afloat. But it's tight.
Could you remind me what the significance of that August 4th? Was there a particular August 4th reason? Or just that's what we set for our
That's goal? What we set. That's okay. What you set. Actually, you pushed up the date somewhat as board.
And then I had a question about what were the criteria for the weighting? How did you weight the interviews?
The RFP had six criteria, but obviously these are quite subjective in terms of a rating of a proposal and an interview, because you can receive additional information.
Scorings, okay. Okay. Any other questions from the board at this time? Okay, let's see. Would it be appropriate now or after public comment to ask the consultants if they'd be willing to go another week?
I would think we'd want to receive some public comment first, but just...
Okay. Let's have public comment first on this item. And is the board ready? Okay. Anybody who would like to speak on this item, please come up. Mr. Perlman.
Hello. Alon Perlman, Prohibition Zone. I did attend the Wastewater Committee meeting on this subject as a member of public, and I think there were other members of public there. It was a lively meeting. It was, I think, a lot of the public walked away with a very good impression that this is where we need to be, that there's a very good process going on, and that it is a very good thing that so I would actually at this point like to thank the Wastewater Committee just for being on the ball, and of course staff, and just there are other people who speak probably who would be able to get into detail better, but I definitely got a good feeling out of this whole thing. So I think these were good inputs, good process, good responses from the vendors, and of course the staff and the Wastewater Committee. One thing I picked up, I'm paraphrasing someone I was talking there, that in the worst case scenario, either whatever you pick, they'll be doing a good job. That's just something I overheard, and I think a lot of people were in agreement with that. One other thing I heard was really that, well, as far as bids, obviously, we don't have an endless pocket, and that's very true for even the immediate future, but that in the weighing, ultimately, your tough job is to figure out who will actualize and do the better job or the cheaper job for the 40 or whatever million dollar project, rather than whether another 100,000 here and there in this phase are going to make the big difference. I don't know if I've properly, I think I've conveyed what somebody else said a lot clearer on that. So I like the idea that Vice President Fouché has call it the Fouché option. I think one thing that happened in that committee meeting is that it'd be very valuable for the proposers to get that exact, and I'm sure Mr. Miller has already had an opportunity, possibly, that they get the feedback from that meeting so that they can look feedback in case they're rejected. That's one of the valuable things that happen. And feedback, in this case, because they can look at their own strengths and weaknesses and address some of the comments. So maybe the tapes of that meeting should be provided, or at least
both will serve the community well. Yeah, as you heard, it was a 3-2 vote, which I think indicates how split the committee was. There was no clear winner. I understand the need to proceed as expeditiously as possible, and I hope that the consultants understand, too, that 20 weeks to do what you're asking them to do seems almost undeliverable. I mean, that's just a tremendous amount of work. So in that aspect, the Fouché option sounds a little attractive in that we might be able to refine scope more to that would be something that would be deliverable, more readily deliverable in that 20-week time frame. I hate to lose the 2 weeks, but when you have candidates as strong as this and a decision that is so important, I was standing in the back of the room thinking it's unfortunate that I don't see any of the Save the Dream people here, because that's what you're trying to do tonight by putting this project report together, to go back and get back to the dream that we had of a relatively low-cost, energy-efficient, advanced integrated wastewater system that fits in with the environment and the mood of this community. You know, that's what the dream was, and the last group kind of got off that path, and your guys are trying to get back on that path, and that's why I wish there was more reaching across the fence and helping each other to get back there. I don't think that dream is dead, to have that type of a solution for Los Osos, and that's what we're asking these consultants to provide it, you know, if that's the option that proves best, because that's what will come out of this report, is what option is best. So I don't know what I'd do if I was sitting in one of your chairs. I honestly don't, so I can't advise you what to do. I like the idea of for a decision this important, taking a little bit more time. I hate to ask either the consultants to do any more work than they already have. I know they're busy working. They don't have time to be fooling around with stuff like this. But for such an important decision, it might be worthwhile to see if we can get them to take a little more time and refine the scope and see what we can get out of that. On the other hand, if you make a decision tonight, I think either one will serve you well. So good luck in your decision. Thank you.
Thank you. Director Cesenia?
It's getting a little hard for me to keep my focus, and I wish we'd respect your fellow speakers at the lectern by keeping your conversations down to a very, very, very minimum. It's been going on for about 20 minutes now.
Thank you.
Mr. Allaby, step up to the lectern, please. You're next.
Chris Allaby, Los Osos. I don't know much about these design teams, except that they're real expensive. And I'm wondering how you guys, and most design teams, have a specialty area. They don't know about all the wastewater systems, and that they have their preferences. I don't see how you can hire a design team before you've decided on a design decided by a 218 vote. So if you could explain that to us.
Planning portion. Hope I answered the question.
That's just right. Who else? Mr. Barrow?
Thank you. I've spoken with all of these people. I've worked with them, some of them, Dana Ripley, for 3 or 4 years, and Phil Lombardo, a year or something like that. And, you know, there's something interesting. You know, time is a factor, and you point that out, John, and I think you can address that when you see you have more folks on your team doing more tasks. If Dana Ripley has all the projects that he has and all the work he does, then he's going to be limited to a certain extent. It might be a release for his company to have some help, and vice versa. And you bring together different talents that see different things. So what you have here, instead of having an a la carte dinner, you have a smorgasbord. And isn't that really what we're looking for here? We want to look and see if we have covered all the bases. We accused the previous board of not looking at everything, and they swore up and down they were looking at everything. And when I looked in these requests for proposals, I saw brand new ideas that I'd never heard of. Pyrolytic converter to create energy, to make the whole product sustainable, to convert waste into money and sell it back to the grid. Not a bad idea. That's ABG Solutions. There's the on-site investigation. There's a possibility that between $4,000 and $6,000 you could have an on-site system that would come all the way to a drip system, and the water would stay on site, and it would be used for exterior uses. Those are possibilities, technologies that are available that can be investigated in at least probably much quicker than 20 weeks. I mean, Most of these ideas that were brought forward in these from these companies have been certified. They all have data on it, some 15-year data streams on some of their nitrogen proposals. I think you would be remiss not to take them both. I would ask you to see if they would entertain working together, conference calls, whatever, maybe separate their tasks out to where their skills are higher. I know regulatory is one of our really serious issues. And I know that while Dana has done work in regulatory, I know Pio is very well thought of at WEFTEC. He's a member of the small communities department there, and that's the Wastewater Engineering Federation. He's very highly thought of. He has a good relationship with George Sabanaglis and Jim Kreisel, who came out here in 94. They know a lot about this community, as well as Dana. So I think we'd have a dynamite team if we could get them all together. We could probably crunch the time down if they were willing to scope it and share tasks and say, okay, well, I'll take this, you take that, and get paid for it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Barrow. Mr. Payne?
Good evening again. I was also at the Wastewater Committee. However, I did not get a chance to read all of the propositions. I am in favor of Dana Ripley because he's local. He's been involved with this community for a long time and probably understands a lot of politics that go on here, as well as understands
scope in this proposal. Then you fail to meet one of the tasks. Time is of the essence, and we don't have to look at you and say, well, you didn't do enough. Well, that's the person who did the most, and we can't look at money until you accept one of them. But my idea is to go ahead and pick one. They all know that they're going to have to follow Measure B, and that means not just trying to work towards one system, but many systems and sites. That's the criteria. Can they make that determination? I don't know. I wasn't there at the interviews. But I believe the firm that looks as if they can cover all the bases required by Measure B were covered. And you can decide money-wise with them then. The regional board and state board doesn't want to hear the word delay anytime. Let's put this off for another week. That's not going to work well. What we're limited to here is negotiations. I think we can go forward with negotiations for scope and price. And whoever you pick doesn't meet the mustard, we go on to somebody else. And I think that's quicker. You can save more time. It's less headache trying to re-deal with two competing factors. And yes, the Wastewater Committee was public comment, and I thought that was pretty good too. There were some hot brands that really knew their stuff. I was impressed. And the committee did a good job. I think you should really consider their input. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dugan. Mrs. Cooper?
Hi, Lacey Cooper, Los Osos, Prohibition Zone, California, whatever. I guess it's a kind of a simple-minded question, but I was wondering what is in a project report? Is it an analysis? Is it a detailed comparison of different systems and how long they'll take and where they'll be and all that kind of stuff that you would pick from after you get the report? Or that, how does that work? Well, actually,
That's your comment?
That's my question, and I just wanted to say on the other thing about deciding, I think you should feel comfortable with your decision, even if it takes a week longer. So, okay, that was my question, though.
Thank you. Mr. Miller?
Yeah, I think a project report in its essence is both, it's a comparison, which means you are going to throw some things up on the wall and look at the pros and cons and the costs of each one to try to select. But it's also a process in that as the project report is developing, they're coming here, making presentations, weeding certain things out. Mm-hmm. So you're not just going to come at the end with 20 alternatives and say, pick one. It's also a process by which you're understanding the community's needs more and more as you go forward, and you're inserting that engineering experience at every step of the way. So theoretically, what you come up with at the end is three or four options that you've got a real clear picture of, mm-hmm. and to where you can really make that decision based on where the community's at and the board's at. So that's a project report.
Just want to really encourage you to use your heart as well as your head in making that this decision about who to pick. If we have time, if I think a week or two delay is okay because there's that level of importance. So if it's that close, I'd like to see that. I love Al's idea about if they can work together. I don't know if that kind of thing happens. I assume it doesn't, but if it does, it would be a wonderful thing. And I guess I want to thank Al. Al is a very eccentric fellow, but he has done a lot of to bring these people and good people like that and held the line and brought us to where we are. So I want to thank Al, too. Thank you.
Thank you. That's a very nice comment. Appreciate that. Would anyone else like to speak on this item? Who else would like to speak on this item? I encourage you to come up. We're very interested in your opinions.
Pat Renshaw. I looked at some of the RFPs. I didn't get a chance to go through them all because they're very complicated, a lot of the stuff I didn't really understand. But I just want to encourage you to pick the one that does go into all the different facets of the county or our community and what we have here. I know some people are looking at on-site. Some people are looking at, you know, different types of systems. So I think that someone that has knowledge of this particular community and, of course, of what we've gone through in the past, but can also look at the future and how is this community going to look in 10 years, say, because the whole county is going to be going through changes. So I just hope that whoever does get it has a vision of what we can look like and how I would like to see it just a total utopia. I mean, I'd like to see, you know, a wonderful, wonderful place that people will look at in the future and go, yeah, it was worth fighting for. It was worth all the effort and all the trouble that we had to go through and you had to go through to make this a community that people are going to look at as something that they want to aspire to. So I just want to encourage you to really, you know, look at the different people and see, you know, who is going to give us the best system that we can all live with and all grow with and everyone be happy with. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Who else would like to speak? Anybody on this item? There be anybody else who'd like to speak? There's some people who haven't spoke. Okay. Close public comment at this time. Bring it back to the board. Would you like to speak? Yes. Mr. Miller?
I think it would be a good time for a little consultant feedback. Again, I don't want to be presumptuous with respect to their desires and moving forward this next week or two. Okay. So perhaps from Lombardo
I'd like to hear from each
and Ripley.
Please.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Since 1978. And we've engineered over $200 million of systems that have been operating for well over 20 years. And non-technical issues have been a very critical component of each one of those projects. Growth management is typically a serious one because sewers, secondary impacts of growth, and we have a number of hallmark projects that we implemented. Our Mayo project received the American Consulting Engineers Council Engineering Excellence Award in 1986 for that, and I had the honor of being bestowed the Construction Man of the Year Candidate Award from Engineering News Record. So we've been there. We've been in the trenches. We've done a whole host of work for EPA. manual. So we've written the manuals, but we've also done it in the street. And we have our scars from learning. I'm going to be try to be brief because I'd like to respond to any questions you have. However, in terms of the issues and the options that you're considering, I'm going to respectfully submit is that Lombardo Associates has already done it for you. Okay, that you're really comparing apples and oranges, in our professional opinion, respectfully stated, that we have submitted a 27-page scope of work as compared to a third-page scope of work that was a requirement of the proposal. The proposal required a manpower estimate. We're the only proposer that provided any manpower estimate. By our 27-page proposal, we have given you our interpretation of the scope of work. And we have studied the situation, and we have weighed and made an estimate of what is involved to put it together. And based upon our experience and our detailed knowledge, our piece is on the street, okay? Nobody else's is. In fact, the others are saying that your deadlines, which you required, cannot be met. We are wholeheartedly ready to do it. And we don't blanch at saying that we can meet the requirements that you've imposed. So we're respectfully saying we're the only ones that really satisfy your requirements. So I will take issue with counsel regarding the issue because, again, we believe that we're the only ones that met the requirements of the submission. Now, I believe it's going to be very challenging for it to be done fairly, and we're pretty flexible, but it's going to be done we've given one level of estimate with our proposal, with 27 pages of explanation, and as a result of interviewing, and we made adjusts before it. I thought it was perfect. I loved it. And that's why we responded this way. It gave us, and as a result of discussions, budgetary-wise, there was a prioritization made as to what items would be lower on the totem pole. That's normal, okay? So again, we believe that we've been responsive. We're enthusiastic. We're known for being this way. You know, the Ever-Ready Bat, you know, the bunny doesn't have anything on us. And, you know, when I learned of these issues, I'm here. You know, it took a very early morning flight this morning. And I understand these things happen. You know, I've been through these with many communities that have been pretty controversial. So we would ask your consideration in that regard, that Lombardo Associates, its team, who has an extensive amount of experience in the state of California. Not only myself, we're working down in Malibu, have worked for Monterey County, but we've got George Shabanagas, doesn't get much better than George. And we also have Bob Jakes, doesn't get much better than Bob Jakes in terms of agricultural exchange in the state of California. He's the one that's done more than anybody. So I respectfully disagree with any commentary that's been made that we don't have relevant experience locally to California. It's not true. It's not true. The record's not true. And, you know, I just travel a lot. And so we're thrilled to have the opportunity to be considered by you. You know, we would be thrilled to be able to demonstrate to the world and yourselves that, as you were saying, your vision is doable. I wouldn't have submitted a proposal if I didn't think that we can accomplish what you want to do. And we're very confident that we know exactly what needs to be done. And the only question in my mind is how much hand-holding are we going to have to do and how much you've got a lot of lawsuits. You've got a lot of frayed relationships. You've got, and the board is the entity that we need to get on our side. That's going to take a lot. Well, the people on our team have a heck of a lot of credibility with the board. So our strategy, as we stated in our proposal, we're not hiding anything, says that we're going to do a critical review right away, and we stated right away we're going to go right to the board. So we've laid all our cards on the table. We respectfully suggest that it's a black and white comparison with the other options you're looking at, and be happy to respond to any other questions. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Lombardo. I appreciate it. Would you have any other questions at this time from the board? Not right now. Anybody? Okay. Mr. Ripley?
Good evening, board. My name is Dana Ripley of Ripley Pacific Pleasanton. I'd like to lay in that option with respect to the specifics in the RFP on page 8 that basically say you select a firm, you work contract negotiations. If that doesn't work, then you go on to firm 2. And I would say that is an option I think you ought to briefly touch on tonight, because I think the time delay aspect may be roughly the same. Bob?
Members of the board, it's a pleasure to come before you. My name is Bahman Sheikh. I'm a water reuse consultant in San Francisco, and I'm very glad to be part of the team of Ripley Pacific. And a couple of things that I would like to mention in response to what Mr. Lombardo just mentioned. First of all, your RFP says that the top-ranked firm will then enter into contractual and fee negotiations with the district after selection. And should the district and top-ranked firm not satisfactorily negotiate the agreement, the second-ranked firm will enter negotiations and so forth. So this is a promise that was made in the RFP, and we basically counted on that as we came into this thing. And going into another phase of work will involve considerable effort on our part, which, as Dana has mentioned, we are willing to provide. Mr. Lombardo mentioned that their proposal is more complete, 27 pages of scope description. Our understanding from the RFP was that this was a qualification step, and this was reiterated and emphasized during the pre-bid meeting that Dana attended. I did not, but Dana assured me that that was the case, and as a result, we were comfortable with the level of description of the scope with the 23 tasks that we provided you in the proposal, and so we think that our proposal was complete and met the requirements of the RFP in every respect. And we are very happy to work with the staff and elaborate on that scope and come up with a cost proposal that would meet your needs. But if you are able and willing to make a decision tonight, we're perfectly willing to abide by it.
Thank you very much, both Mr. Ripley and Dr. Sheik. Any questions from the board at this time? Oh, yes. Of course. Please.
Okay, Madam President and Board, I'm Gary McLarnon from ABG Wastewater. And I'm just here to say I appreciate the ability to present our ideas to you. It's been a great exercise, and for us, good things have come out of it. We're a young firm, just a year old, and we're back where Mr. Lombardo and Dana Ripley were years ago. And so in the qualifications, you know, after I see their teams, they were much more qualified. We're very proud of our ideas, and we felt that had this been presented and judged on ideas, we probably would have done a lot better. But and I look at the Tucker automobile. I kind of see us as the Tucker automobile of wastewater, and we may be way ahead of our time at this point.
But these are manpower estimate is allocated 10 points. So if you don't provide manpower estimates, presumably you get no points. Project understanding and approach is 30 points. Approach means how are you going to solve the problem? How are you going to solve the problem is defined in a scope of work. So if one does not submit a scope of work, there's no approach. That's the reason why we did this. I would respectfully submit that this your procurement was really a combination of a qualifications base and a draft proposal for conducting the work from the submitters. Anybody can do the math and figure out if what our fee was. When you ask for a level of effort and you ask for hourly rates, that's pretty close to asking for the fee. It doesn't take much to do that. That was in the requirements. So that's not uncommon. We don't like it, but it's not uncommon. The reason why it's done, in my experience, and I've done quite a few of these, is for the interviewing agency to really assess the firm's understanding and where are they going to put the emphasis. Do they think this is a 10-cent effort, or do they think it's a dollar effort? And that gives one a determination as to their judgment. Okay, we've laid out our judgment. Otherwise, it's a bid when somebody just says, give me 10 hours of work. So, again, I just respectfully submit that the RFP has a number of requirements, and our proposal was the only one that met those.
Thank you, Mr. Lombardo. Would you have anything else that you'd like to add at this time, just briefly?
I would like to respond to that. Dana and I have 50 years of experience between the two of us proposing to hundreds of RFPs throughout this state and other states, doing work internationally. We are not new to proposals and RFPs. We know how to read an RFP. We know how to interpret a requirement. We know what this scoring system is. We also go to pre-bid conferences quite frequently, and we ask questions, and those questions provide us with the responses that we know what the agency, the client wants and they need. And based on all of these, based on all this experience, we prepared the proposal that was responsive to your needs.
Thank you, sir. Okay, any other questions from the board at this time? Any questions? Mr. Miller, would you like to comment on anything that you've heard that would assist the board this time?
Well, I think as is listed in the staff report, you do have a contrast before you here tonight to consider. It is true that the Ripley scope of services was brief, and I think the selections team's thought at the time, though, was that project understanding to how they would approach this project and what types of tasks they would complete. So, obviously, your board has a difficult decision before you, but we do continue to think that either team is reachable from an award standpoint, and I think it's all the input I would have at this time.
Now I'm opening it up for the board to make comments. It looks like Director Sasania.
Sure. First of all, I'd like to thank everyone who came and gave us a proposal. I'm inclined to believe that you're here because of the strength of your character. There are a lot of firms out there. A lot of them aren't here. And I tend to think that's because they like to play it safe, make easy money. You're problem solvers. That's what I see, and I really appreciate that. We're not going to lose with the decision that we make. That's the good news. for us. I'm not inclined to put this off because I don't see a tangible result. I don't see an improvement in what we're going to get by delaying, refining, or trying to work parallel tracks on a scope revision. If I were on the wastewater committee and all I had to look at were the proposals, I know which way I'd go. But the interviews are part of the process, and that there's a lot that's revealed there. So we can't just say, we'll look at the written proposal that was submitted. And in that case, something Bo said, when you think with your heart, it comes out. Those intangibles come out in the interviews, I think. And I've got to trust the panel that we put together for those interviews, for that specific purpose of selecting a consultant. Those are my thoughts. I'm ready to make a decision tonight.
Mr. Buskey?
Some of my comments are, though, is that they're in the committee meeting, and this is why I've kind of resisted an opinion, but Director Sassane has come on, and you know, I thought there would be a more appropriate time after more information was out there for the public. First of all, again, I want to reemphasize, you got two great teams. But in the conversations that occurred during and after committee, I was able to ferret out a couple of things that didn't get brought out in the interview. One was there was a misperception of Lombardo's California experience. And I think in talking to some of the members of the selection committee, that did exist to a limited extent. And I have knowledge of that is not the case. And this persuaded me. The other thing that got brought up in committee, and I want to emphasize this, and maybe Dana's team can comment on this as well. I mean, if it's your decision, Madam President. But there's two things that caught my eye about Lombardo's experience. One is they left, and then they worked in a community, and it was on Malibu Creek?
Malibu, right.
Right at the surf, right at Surfrider Beach. And that's kind of like fixing a problem that would be, gosh, like almost on the mudflats. I mean, it's that close. So that was quite a challenge. And then also the community in Malibu, those are the kind of things that helped me shape my decision. I'm not saying it's, I mean, like I say, I want to say that, you know, Dana's got a great reputation. His firm brings a lot of credentials. But I kind of lean towards Lombardo for those reasons. But I also have to emphasize, too, with what Rob says, I wasn't in the interviews, in all fairness to Dana. And you have to basically look at what I'm saying in that light. But those items that came up from those conversations, and I feel very that you should know that. And that's why this one's so hard.
That's why I said we're not going to lose.
Thank you. Director Tacker, would you like to speak?
I want to thank everyone that participated. I appreciate your time and energy and at looking at Los Osos at all, because a lot of folks don't look anymore. And Gary, your proposal probably brought the most conversation, a lot of interest, very, very cutting edge, like you said. So thank you. Time? Tonight. I want to decide tonight. Lisa and I, Chuck, Steve, on different intervals have been going to the CDO, the cease and desist order meetings. I see distress in some of our citizens, and I can't tell you how much they want a solution. We want a solution. All of us have been at this a very long time, and we know the old project like the back of our hands, and that's why we are ready to be rid of it and have an innovative project that unites our community, and I think we can do that. I thought we were well on our way to that until construction began. So on behalf of the 45 citizens that are suffering from the CDOs and the stress in their life, I feel a very pressured need
to make a move tonight and make a decision. Narrow the scope. We're going to have to narrow the scope. We don't have a lot of money. There's a lot of things we want to do that cost a lot of money. We're going to have to update our environmental impact report, whatever that means, a supplemental EIR. It takes time, it costs money. I see that we need an affordability study, time and money. So the scope has to be narrowed so that we can afford to take this project anywhere. This board compromised in October, took a heavy hit from those who supported us in abandoning the step collection negotiations. That option went away for us. I've mourned it, but if somehow it survives, I'll be pleasantly surprised and pleased, of course. A little bit more on the money. The district is preoccupied, distracted with our citizens and their cease and desist orders, with the fines that have been levied against the district, and all the legal efforts to defend ourselves against 11 lawsuits. And I think 9 of them were filed after the recall. Citizens, contractors, and so we have to work on that. We have to spend our money on that. The district is protecting itself, and we have had to file enter into five legal actions that we've initiated ourselves. They're not all lawsuits yet, but we're in the process. We're headed that way if we don't get some things ironed out. So I think there's a lot of things taxing the district, and again, scope is going to have to be narrowed. Just when you were talking, Rob, about scope, treatment technologies, collection, and the location. You know, if somebody asked me what my dream sewer project was, I had one. I knew exactly where I'd put it. I knew exactly what kind of technology I wanted, collection I wanted, disposal I wanted. I had it all picked. But I saw a board 7 years ago who pretty much did the same thing, and they took the choice away from their community. And that's why I have really only shared my dream solution with a few, because I want you to choose. I want you to know. And that's what this process is going to give you, is your choice. And it's going to be the right choice. Chuck tells a story where he saw the environmental impact report, and then he saw the project report, and they told two different stories. We can't let that happen. We can't let that happen. We can't let the environmental impact fall secondary to our dream sewer, whatever that may be. It has to be the right choice, and I think that a good, fair project update will bring us to the right, to the end of the same story. Again, thank you all for proposing. I have to go with my gut, and Dana Ripley has not only been
a lot of things that came before us, and looking at them, and you make value judgments based on a perception, you know, vision of what's to be. It's a lot like
picking your future. It really is. And, you know, who are you going to entrust your future to? It's a big decision. At the end of the interviews, after all was said and done, our scoring was very similar between all of us. It varied only a couple of points. And, you know, regardless of what we saw in the documents, it did distill down to what we learned from the interviews. In this selection, there really isn't a right or wrong choice because we really don't know what will ultimately be selected. It's an open process as yet. There's a lot of input from the community that will likely guide our selection of a project, a solution, a project type, and as we've been saying all along, I think both of the firms will have ability to come to that conclusion, I think. And ultimately, it's almost a choice of, you know, what style you like. And I preferred Dana Ripley's approach when it came down to it. It's just a style I prefer. I think we'll get to the solution either way. And I think both would do a very good job. But I can't say much more beyond that.
Thank you. Thank you, Director Sennett, Vice President Fouché. If you have anything more you'd like to add.
Well, I was on all the committees, selection, wastewater committee, so I was there to see it all. And it's been a great process to go through. I appreciate these guys coming in. There's just no doubt about it. They're both highly qualified. If I had one choice to make, I'd hire either one of them. If I only had one looking at me in the face to choose from, I could hire Ripley or Lombardo to do this work. I'm going to stick, and I agree with you, Lee. Let's make a decision. I think it needs to get done tonight. We got to get moving forward. And so I, even though a week or two is not a long delay, I think we should just go ahead and make my recommendation to the rest of the board.
But go 2 more weeks. I would really, I because I wasn't part of the interview process, although I trust my colleagues completely in the process and what they did, I don't know about enough. I don't know you as well as I would like to be able to make a decision, but I understand the speed too. So I'm very torn tonight, and I appreciate all of your efforts so much. I can't tell you, you're all very qualified, and I'm honored that you have taken the time to work with us. I'm probably the only one that's not ready to make a decision tonight, and that's just who I am. I'd like more time. So that's just the honest truth for me. This proposal is complete. This is what I like to see, so I can make my decision, and I see some thought put into this. But you heard the thought put into it during the interview process, and I believe that you did. So I trust that. So it's just my level of comfort is always, I wish you all could work together. I would love to have you all, and I don't know if that's possible. So I would like that to be explored, but I will. That's where I'm sitting right now. So I'm willing to entertain a motion, and that's where I'm at.
I move that we hire Ripley Pacific Associates. I believe that was the firm's name.
Mr. McClendon, excuse me, Mr. Director Singh.
Yeah, I think the what we have before us is authorization to negotiate a final contract and fee with one of the proposers for the preparation of the wastewater project report.
I move that we direct staff to follow through on
negotiating the final contract
with Ripley Pacific Associates.
Okay.
I'll second that motion.
Okay. Do we have any further discussion on the motion at all? And any other discussion? Okay, we'll have a roll call vote, please.
Thank you. Director Tacker.
Yes.
Vice President Fiché.
Yes.
Director Sesenia.
Yes.
Director Sennett.
Yes.
President Schicker.
No. Just going to say no. Just for those reasons that I gave.
It's not our first non-unanimous.
We're so unanimous, but we have to voice our own votes from the heart, right? Okay. So the motion carries, and that's the way direction we're going to go. And so, Mr. McClendon, do you have anything to add at this time?
No, there's no comments.
Okay. Okay, we're going to we'll finish up with director's comments and then go home. So starting off with Director Sennett for any final comments.
Thank you. I'd like to go back. Why don't you go first? Okay.
You better be ready.
Yeah, I'll be ready.
Thanks, Al. Thanks, Gary. Thanks, Dana. Thank you, Pio. Thank you.
Remind the whole community that this is the beginning of the end as far as CDOs. Once these 45 and 46 are resolved by the Water Board, that will more or less, to me, seal our fate and realize that $9 million per year, approximately, will be shipped out of this town and diverted from a wastewater project to something other than what we need as far as accomplishing our goal. So I would urge you to use your heart in appealing to the regional board, the state board, and we'll hope it doesn't go as far as court and that they'll feel the pain that they're inflicting on innocent people. And I'd like to ask everybody who does get involved with letter writing to people, to those that discuss this problem with the regional board or the state board, that they use their heart in describing the pain that and the senselessness of what they're doing, and have faith that we'll get through this and develop a project that'll resolve this very soon. Good night.
Thank you, Director Sennett. Director Tacker?
I just want to piggyback on what Michael Jones brought to the podium tonight. Alana Williams is got a long, long recovery ahead of her. And Tuesday night, at March 28th at 7 p.m. at Baywood Elementary multipurpose room is a concert that the school kids, the band, and the choir, Alana was a member of the choir, the kids are going to perform because they love Alana, and they're asking for a $5 donation at the door for you to come in and listen to those voices and those instruments lift up Alana. I believe there's also a bake sale, so bring your appetite. And then the following Saturday, it's a drive-through barbecue dinner at the El Moro Church of the Nazarene from 3 to 6 p.m. It's $8, tri-tip or chicken. It's best to call the number that you'll see on the yellow flyers all around town. I don't have it in my head. Oh, wait. 215-0789. I painted a few posters.
and it's in there now. The barbecue, like I said, is a drive-through, 3 to 6 p.m., and the El Moro Church of the Nazarene is at Santa Isabel and South Bay Boulevard. So do participate in that. That's something that this community has always done. When a family's in need, they come together, and I'm very, very proud to be part of this community and part of all of you. The concert's at Baywood Element.
And manage our water. We're going to have an answer to this in about 4 months. And it's a huge effort on the engineering aspects of it, but so important to this community. And it's going to give us some huge, huge results from when we see this project in July. We will have sites out in front of the community to decide on, or at least start thinking about, probably in about May. Don't hold me to that, but that's what I'm thinking. So anyway, it's a good thing. It's a very good thing, and this is I'm excited about this. This is a good thing for this community. It's what we're looking to do. Thank you. Good night.
My final comments are: I appreciate all of you. I appreciate every consultant that came here tonight and proposed and spoke to us, and all the comments from the public. And I totally appreciate my fellow board members for their effort and involvement in this decision process, and I respect all the work that they put into it as well. And I thank you, and good night.